ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवायम् ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवायम् ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाघया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्दियं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुधापदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवम् साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपदान् सहगणललितां श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च नमाओं विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तसिद्धांत सरस्वती इति नामिने श्रीवर्षभानवी देवी दैताया कृपा नमस्ते सरस्वती देवीं गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादि पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे नमाओं विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिसिद्धांत सरस्वती इति नामिने श्रीवर्षभानवी देवी दैताया कृपाब्धये कृष्णसम्बन्ध विज्ञानं दायिदे प्रभवे नमः माधुर्योज्ज्वलप्रेमाग्ने श्रीरूपानुगभक्तिदा श्रीगौरकरुणाशक्ति विग्रहाय नमोऽस्तु ते नमस्ते गौरवाणि श्रीमूर्तये दीनधारिणे रूपानुगविरुद्धापसिद्धान्तद्वन्द्वहारिणे नमो गौरकिशोराय साक्षाद्वैराग्यमूर्तये विप्रलम्बरसाम्बोधे पादाम्बुजाय ते नमः नमो भक्तिविनोदाय सच्चिदानन्दनामिने गौरशक्तिस्वरूपाय रूपनुगवराय ते गौराविर्भवभूमिस्त्वं निर्देष्टा सज्जनप्रियाः वैष्णवा सार्वभौम श्रीजगन्नाथाय ते नमः वंशकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नमो महावदन्याय कृष्णप्रेमप्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्णचैतन्यनाम्ने गौरत्विषे नमः पञ्चतत्त्वात्मकं कृष्णं भक्तरूपस्वरूपकं भक्तावतारं भक्ताख्यं नमामि भक्तसात्विकम् हे कृष्णकरुणा सिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगल्पदे गोपेश गोपिका कान्त राधाकान्त नमोऽस्तु ते जयदां सुरदौ बाङ्गोर्मम मन्दमदेर्गति मत्सर्वस्वपदाम्भोजौ राधा मदनमोहनौ दिव्यवृन्दारण्यकल्पद्रुमादौ श्रीमन्द्रत्नाकरसिंहासनस्थौ श्रीमद्राधा श्रीलगोविन्ददेवौ प्रेष्ठालिभिः सेव्यमानौ स्मरामि श्रीमन्रासरसारम्भि वंशीवटतटस्थिता कर्षान्वेणुस्वनेर्गोपेर्गोपीनाथा श्रियेस्तु नाः तप्तकाञ्चनगौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभो नित्यानन्दं श्री अद्वैतगदाधार श्रीवासादिगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम राम हरे 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 कृष्ण हरे 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 राम राम हरे 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 कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 राम राम हरे हरे So we'll continue with the universal form, what we were discussing when we stopped last time. I'm sure you all remember where we stopped. So it's not a problem, I can just continue from there where I stopped, isn't it? But anyway, universal form, Visharupa Darshanam, as Bhagavad Gita calls that, it's a very special chapter, as I mentioned so many times before. If you read that chapter in the Bhagavad Gita, if you do not understand the background of that chapter, you will simply mistake it like another Purana story. That is the difficulty there. In Puranam, there are so many different Puranas, there are so many different stories, isn't it? Some of them you may believe, some of them you may not believe. Sometimes it's unbelievable they are, but still, if you ask, are they all true? Yes, they are all true. But the difficulty is that with our mind and senses completely focused in this world today, it is difficult for us to accept certain things which we, our senses or the mind will create a difficulty in accepting certain things. That's why Puranam is always to be understood in a different way. Puranam's, the goal is more important than the story, what is spoken in the Puranam. So anyway, in this particular chapter, 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita also, similarly, if you read it like any other chapter, you may get the impression that is this, wow, it's something amazing what Krishna is showing to Arjuna. And Arjuna is standing there seeing Krishna's universal form, and because there is a picture also there in the Bhagavad Gita, immediately your thinking, natural way of thinking will be that Krishna has changed his form and shown something to Arjuna at that time. But in reality, it is not like that. This is the important thing. That is why a long introduction is necessary for this particular chapter. Because it is pure jnanam, knowledge, mixed with yogam. That is why it is the difficulty. Yogam, Ashtanga yogam, mixed with jnanam is this chapter of this 11th chapter. We have discussed this and we stopped somewhere on the 6th or 7th verse, if I remember correctly, we have seen there that the verse 4th verse we are talking about. I won't go back again to the old from the beginning because it's already there. Manyese yadi tachakyam maya drashtum idi prabho yogeshwara tadometum darshayatmanam avyayam. That's the verse we are looking at. Manyase yadi tachakyam maya drashtum idi prabho yogeshwara tadometum darshayatmanam avyayam. Krishna, that Arjuna, after seeing Krishna and about this universal form, Arjuna expressed the desire that Krishna mentioned in the previous chapter, if you remember, that I pervade in everything in this creation. Yaddad vimudimat sattvam shrimad urjidameva va tatta deva avagachatvam mama tejomsha sambhavam. There is a verse in the last chapter. Krishna says, wherever you see anything, Yadyad vibhuti mat sattvam. All vibhuti, all opulences are mine, Krishna says. Krishna says it's mine. All vibhuti means all opulences are mine. And then Krishna says, Srimad urjidam evava. And wherever you find something extraordinary, that is me. Tatta devava gachatvam mamadejamsha sambhavam. Krishna says it has come from me. So, practically speaking, there is nobody to be glorified in this world. Unfortunately, we glorify everybody, isn't it? We glorify politicians, businessmen, and big sportsmen, musicians. Krishna is saying, wherever you find something extraordinary, that's me. It is Krishna who has to be glorified. That is the important thing. So, having said that, so Arjuna knows about Prahlada, how he saw Krishna. That is in the 7th canto, we have seen that. So similarly, Arjuna has expressed this desire here that if I am qualified to see this, because Arjuna knows his limitations very well, that's why he's saying like that. If I am qualified to see this, please show it to me. That is why Arjuna spoke like this. First of all, if you see universal form, in most of the cases, they got frightened after seeing the universal form, isn't it? If you remember what happened with Arjuna, Krishna has shown universal form in several instances. This universal form has shown. And Krishna made one or two mistakes also there, to tell it, to say it properly. Why? Because Krishna showed the universal form to Duryodhana in the assembly, of Dhritarashtra's assembly. And when he saw the universal form, Duryodhana got so frightened. But as soon as Krishna pulled back from the universal form, took away the universal form, Duryodhana says it is some magic he is doing. He starts saying like that. So all sorts of reactions have happened like that in the case of this universal form. There's a lot of history behind this universal form. Yashoda Devi got frightened twice seeing Krishna's universal form. Yashoda Devi experienced the universal form. Whatever way one think about Krishna, because we know from the Shastram that Krishna is present in everywhere. So that permeation or the Krishna's presence in all creation is understood by different people in different ways. Yashoda Devi understood in one way, Arjuna understood in another way, Duryodhana understood in a different way. So each one of them saw that universal form in different ways, in different places, under different circumstances. So here, the immediate thing is that when one sees the universal form, first thing what happens to him, he loses his individuality, identity. When he experiences, it is an experience. Universal form is an experience for the devotee. So when Arjuna also, when Yashoda Devi saw that, Yashoda Devi thought, what's happening now in this whole creation? She, Krishna opened the mouth and Yashoda Devi looked inside and there were all the planets, universe, everything in this small baby's mouth. Yashoda Devi is seeing the whole creation. Inside that creation, there is another Yashoda Devi sitting there with Krishna and they are looking at each other and having the same conversation. So will anyone not get frightened when you see this, all these things happening? So Yashoda Devi got frightened and Yashoda Devi understood that this is not an ordinary child. At the time of appearance, Krishna has spoken about this. What did he say to Devaki? He said to Devaki, Devi, now and then I'll show my real form. All these pastimes are for that purpose. Yuvavam brahma bhavena brahma bhavena cha sakrat chindayando krita sneho. If you remember that verse, that while appearance, Krishna said to Devaki Devi, that sometime yuvamam putra bhavena brahma bhavena cha sakrat chindayando krita sneho, that you should treat me like your son, because that way you will get attached to me. Yuvamam putra bhavena, as your son you should look after me, but at the same time you shouldn't get stuck in that. That was the message. Yuvamam putra bhavena is fine, but now and then I will show you who I am. Brahma bhavena chasakra chindayando, I will show my form as Brahmam as I am. Brahma bhavena chasakra chindayando krita sneho, that you should develop that attachment to me as your son, but at the same time you should know who I am. Unfortunately, in Devaki Devi's case, it didn't happen. At the very end, till the very end, Devaki Devi and Vasudev thought, Krishna is our son. He is saying he is Brahman, this, that and the other. What does it matter? After all, he is our son. This was their thinking. So therefore, Krishna later on had to send Sri Narada Maharshi to instruct Vasudev and Devaki on who Krishna is, to teach Vasudev and Devaki who Krishna is. That is that famous four chapters in the 11th canto, where the Navayogis, Kavi Hari and onwards, nine yogis comes and spoke to Vedavyasama, to Vasudev and Devaki about Krishna. And only then they woke up. Till then they didn't even think about it. They forgotten everything. Whatever that was spoken at the appearance time, that was all forgotten. So they had to be brought back again into their original consciousness. So you can see that happened there. And here you will see there, sometimes the disciples or the Arjuna's position here particularly, he's saying to Krishna, am I qualified to see that? That is that humility in Arjuna. Am I qualified to see it? If it is so, then it is the decision has to be made by the teacher, by the spiritual master, not by the disciple. So Arjuna is putting himself in that situation, saying to him, if I am qualified, please show me that form. So one time when he saw this form, he saw Krishna has so many different mouths. In through some mouths, he is swallowing so many people going in. And through other mouths, so many new living entities are coming out from the another mouth. So the important thing is that everyone will not be qualified to see this universal form. Therefore, the maturity for that is required. That is why you will see in this particular verse, there is a usage there. Manyase yadi tachakyam maya drishtam idi prabho. Then Arjuna says to Krishna, Yogeshwara. Yogeshwara. Because it is a yoga system it is. Yogeshwara tado metvam darshanam darshayatmanam avyayam. He says there, isn't it? Manyase yadi tachakyam maya drishtam idi prabho. Yogeshwara tado metvam darshayatmanam avyayam. If you look at the verse, he says there, I am able to provide, if you think that I am able to behold your cosmic form, O master of all the mystic power, then kindly show me the universal self. That's how Arjuna puts it to Krishna. Only if you think that I can handle it. If I can't handle it, there is no point in showing it to me. This was Arjuna's point. That's why he specifically uses that word, Yogeshwara. Yogeshwara means one who has the controller of all the yogic processes. In this chapter, it is actually knowledge mixed with yoga. That is why Yogeshwara addressed specifically there. So why is it that, why we get frightened when we see this universal form? This is another, we don't get frightened by seeing some horror movies, isn't it? Dracula or something, we do get frightened, but when we know it's a movie, then we will not worry about it too much. But why universal form is so frightening? The reason for that is, who is frightened first of all? Who gets frightened? When we say we get frightened, who is the one who is getting frightened? It is a false ego in us. It's a false ego that's getting frightened. Ahankaram is a very powerful thing inside. Why it is called a false ego? Do you know why it's called false ego? We call it false ego. Why is it a false ego? The false ego, ahankaram, it is a false thing. We don't understand it as a false thing. Because all the time when we are awake, we are aware of it, isn't it? You can give an example that as soon as someone abuses you or somebody gets very nasty or dirty with you, then immediately you react to that situation, isn't it? Immediately you react to that. And equally it is, when someone praises you, you feel happy also about it. Oh, somebody has said something nice about me. Everyone else is telling me bad thing. Or at least somebody is recognizing he has that. So the false ego, which is operating on a very subtle level, is always responding to the world. Is always responding to the world in one form or the other. But as soon as you go into deep sleep state, this thing doesn't exist. That is why it's called false ego. This thing, false ego, exists in the wakened state and in the dream state. In the dream state, there is false ego. But as soon as you go into deep sleep, he has gone. Where is all the ego then? You don't care anymore what goes on in this world. You've gone to another world then. Isn't it? So, identification with the body and identification with this false identity is only in the state of wakened state as well as in the dream state. As soon as you go into deep sleep, that itself shows that it's not a real thing. And itself shows that, because if something is real, it should be there all the time. It should be there all the time. It comes out as soon as you wake up in the morning or as soon as you have come back to the wakened state, you are aware of it again. But as soon as you go into the deep sleep state, there is no false ego. There is no reaction to anything what is going on in this world, is there? There's no reaction at all. And because of this, you can see that this Krishna talks about one or two things, about 26 qualities of a devotee, isn't it? Amanitvam, adambitvam, ahimsa, chandi, arjavam, ajaryopasanam, shaujam, sthairyam, atmavinigraha. It will come later in the 12th, 13th chapter. So there, one or two things says this amanitvam and adambitvam. Two things begins there. Amanitva means that freedom from false ego. Freedom from false ego. Adambitva means not looking for any recognition in this world. These two things Krishna puts it together. Normally when you read that verse, Amanitvam, Adambitvam, you will think what is the difference exactly between these two, Amanitvam and Adambitvam. Amanitvam is this, that this subtle false ego operating all the time, trying to looking for some recognition in the world. Now, one of the sadhana process to remove that false ego is to constantly remember this, that it is a false thing. Most of us are battling with this false ego, isn't it? We ask people, each other, Prabhu, how do I become humble? In all these courses and seminars, you will see this question coming up. How to become humble? Then somebody will quote another verse and say, this is the answer for that. That is not the process. Process is to find out where this false ego is coming from. Once you know that, and once you know it is false, then you won't feed anymore into it, isn't it? Once you know something is very false, then there is no point in cultivating it anymore. Because you are so, whether it is Hitler, whether it's Mussolini, whether it is Saddam Hussein, doesn't matter. As soon as they go into deep sleep state, all thing has gone. Everything has gone. Whether it is Hiranyakshaya, Hiranyakashipu, Ravana, Kumbhakarna, doesn't matter who it is. Once they have fallen into deep sleep state, their so-called ego, where is it? Where has it gone? That is how powerfully material nature controls us. That is why this Jagrat, Sapnam, Sushupti, three states, if one can study that very well, you will get a lot of realizations from that. That's why it's spoken in the Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Srimad Bhagavatam so in detail about the three states of existence. So you can see here that the what is true in two states is not true. If it is true in all the three states, if it exists, it is true. It is true. What exists in Jagrat and what exists in Sopnam or dream state, but what does not exist in Sushupti is not a true thing. That is the answer for that. So anyway, Manyase Vidita Shakyam Maya Drishtam Idi Prabho. So, practically you can see here that while seeing that universal form, the person loses his individuality. How does he lose his individuality? Because in that creation process, so many things are coming, just like from the waves coming from the sea, and that comes out in the form of powerful waves, then a lot of bubbles form, and so many different forms water comes out from there. Similarly, in creation also, that ocean, which is Chit Shakti of Brahman, from there all this creation is happening. In there, we are just one small bubble for a very short period of time in that long creation. So, when we see that, this false ego will get frightened. False ego gets frightened. So, Ahankaram, which is false ego, as long as this ignorance is in us, that it is a real thing, then we will be frightened. This false ego is a very subtle thing. It's very difficult to explain it also. But one who has scrutinized thoroughly these three states, you will understand that the impact of false ego in our daily transactions in this world. The whole world is running on the falsity of this ego, isn't it? In society, we keep some peace each other. How? Through false ego, isn't it? That's what keeping, say, don't bother me, I won't bother you. Like they say, isn't it? So don't bother me, I won't bother you. So I respect your false ego, you respect my false ego. That's what it means. It is on this principle the society is constructed. Society works on this principle. So false ego in Vyavaharam, it is necessary to create transaction in this world. It's necessary. But from the paramarthic point of view, from spiritual position, it's the greatest enemy. Once you come to the spiritual world side, it's the greatest problem, this false ego. Why? We bring this false ego from our worldly life into spiritual life. That is why two sannyasis also can't agree sometimes each other. They are both in sannyasam, same ashram, and living together, but they have disagreement. Why? The false ego has not left yet. So you can see how subtle level that once this false ego goes away, then the fear goes away. So that is why, if you remember, in the when Krishna's appearance time, it was discussed also that Parikshit Maharaj told Sudeva Goswami one thing. Viryani tasya khila deha bhajam andarbahi purushakala rubaihi prayachado mrityumrudamrdamja maya manushyasya vadasva vidvan. You will see this famous verse in the Bhagavatam. Viryani tasya khila deha bhajam andarbahi purushakala rubaihi. Inside, purusha. Outside, time. That is how Krishna is in this world, isn't it? Inside it is Purusha, the soul. Outside it is time. If you take the shelter outside, you will be killed one day under the influence of time. That's why it says, Andar bahi Purusha kalarubaihi. And what is the difference? Prayachado mrityumrada mradam cham. If you take the shelter outside, mrityu, death is waiting. If you take shelter inside, Krishna as Purusha is amrdam, nectar it is. Prayachado mrityu mrudamrdam cha maya manushyasya vadasya vidvan. That is the way Krishna has functioned in this world while he was in this planet. In this planet. Parikshit is saying to Sudeva Goswami, talk to me about Krishna, who is present inside as the soul of everybody and who is present outside as time personified. As time personified. So, then Parikshit is saying here, that Purusha inside, you can realize him only when this false ego goes away from inside. When you locate that this false ego is the thing that is stopping from realizing Krishna inside, our own false ego. That is why he mentioned there, prayachado mrityumrudamrdam cha, that it is mrityu, death, definitely outside. When you see Krishna as everything in this world and starts without caring for his presence inside, simply absorbed in the activities of this world and always busy with this world, for such a person, what happens at the end? Mrityu. Death comes to him. Isn't it? Death comes and takes over everything. Prayachado mrityu. For him, one whose mind and intelligence, everything is external, who is absorbed in this world to such an extent, for him, prayachado mrityu, for him, he has to go and experience death. He has no choice. And the other hand, mrityumradamradam cha, one who has gone inward, inquiring about Krishna, who is present inside every living entity, one who is inquiring after him, mrityumradamradam cha maya manushyasya vadasva vidvan. He is present outside as maya manushyan. In this world, when Krishna came and performed those pastimes, we did not understand who Krishna is. Nobody understood who Krishna is. Only very few devotees understood who Krishna is. Everybody else thought he is a very powerful person. He is able to do so many things. Duryodhana didn't understand. Kamsa didn't understand. Shishuvala didn't understand. So many people didn't understand who Krishna is. That is why it said, Maya Manishyasya Vadasya Vidvan. And Maya's Shakti or Maya's power, that is what was happening at that time. But once you are released from that and you are gone inquiring after Krishna inward, inside, then what will happen? That is why it is mentioned like this. Purusha Kala Rupaihi. Purusha Kala Rupaihi. So externally it is death, internally it is nectar. Inside it is nectar. Here Krishna, Arjuna is saying to Krishna, if you feel that I am qualified enough, then show it to me, that universal form. Because everyone may not have that pakvata or maturity in them. Therefore, he says here, Yogeshwara tadome tvam darshayam darshayatmanam avyayam. Darshayatmanam avyayam. Show your form to me. Anantam, which is unlimited, and avyayam, which is inexhaustible. And what else is that? It is continuously changing. This is the nature of that universal form. Constantly changing. We don't take notice of the change that is happening in this world, isn't it? We don't take notice of that. Why is that? Body is changing. We don't take notice of that, the changing body. The mind is changing. The intelligence is changing. Everything is changing. And the world is also changing. The external world is also changing. But somehow or the other, we have, due to our influence of Maya, we do not take notice of the changes that is happening in us. That is, what is the changes that is happening in us. So that is why. So although it is changing constantly, that is why it is difficult to draw a picture of universal form. Because universal form is changing all the time. What can you do? How can you draw a picture of something which is always changing? Isn't it? So it hasn't got a definite form. And everything what we see, and we see this as a creation. The creation is Krishna's universal form. This universal form is this whole creation. So everything is Krishna. So to see that and to withstand that, if I have the qualification for that, if you see it is there, then Arjuna says to Krishna, show that to me. So, and in answer to that, how Krishna responded to that request and how Krishna allowed Arjuna to see that, what Krishna has to upgrade Arjuna, like from the economy class to the first class, or he has to upgrade him to see Krishna, Arjuna, Krishna properly. So that upgrading business is all what is in the next few verses. You will see here. Then this Visharupa Darshanam is not completely pure spiritual knowledge. It's not pure spiritual knowledge. It is also a little bit of yogam, and there is a lot of description also there. Varnana. Varnana means a elaborate explanation, description of the what was seen there. What they see there is not the important thing, because that is changing all the time. It is the knowledge side of it, and how Arjuna became qualified to see that, and what changes were made in Arjuna to experience that, and all the yoga process involved, all that is a part of this chapter. All that is a part of this. Only with that background, if you read this chapter, you will get it right. You'll get it properly. Otherwise, it will simply look like a mysterious thing. Completely mysterious thing. Bhagavad Gita is not a book like that. Bhagavad Gita has got a very, very, very clear-cut ideas about self-realization, about the soul, about the knowledge, about the jnanam, yogam, karmam, bhakti. Everything is very specifically defined in Bhagavad Gita. So it's quite unusual in Bhagavad Gita to bring something which is not very shastric or very scientific in that way. That is why I'm saying that. Again, repeating the same thing, that when you read that chapter, you have to bear in mind, it's not purely knowledge of the soul. To that, Krishna has added on yogam also. Patanjali's yoga process, Krishna has added on to that. And Krishna, there is also a lot of description of Vedavyasa has mentioned there, of how Arjuna was seeing that universal form. Universal form. So, Shri Bhagavan Uvacham. Pashyame partha rupani shatashodha sahasrasham nana vidhani divyani nana varna kritini cham shri bhagavan uvacham pashyame partha rupani shatashodha sahasrasham నానావిధాని దివ్యాని నానావర్ణాకృతీని చ. Translation. The Blessed Lord said, My dear Arjuna, O son of Pritha, behold now my opulences. Hundreds of thousands of varied divine forms, multicolored like the sea. Multicolored like the sea. So, if we go through all the verses, individual verses in this chapter, this will go for a very long time, this chapter. Actually, that is not necessary also, in the sense that if we understand this much, that Visharupa means, the universal form means, the living entity, Jiva, he starts experiencing the presence of Krishna inside. That is what it is. He is experiencing Krishna's presence inside. That is this universal form. Because what does that mean? Only when he saw this universal form, Arjuna started thinking, who am I in this? Otherwise, Arjuna never thought like that. Arjuna always thought that I am one of the Pandavas, the best among the fighters, son of Kunti Devi, all these kind of, like we all have our own identity, isn't it? We all things in terms of our own body, where we were born, or the language we speak, or the dress we put on, all kinds of things. We have identity with that, very strong identity within ourselves. Nobody thinks that I am a false ego moving around in this world, isn't it? We all think we are all very humble and very nice people. But what Krishna is saying here, with this universal form, it shook Arjuna first time. He started realizing, in relationship with that universal form, who am I? He started thinking, what's my position in this whole creation? That was the immediate impact of seeing this universal form. Immediate impact was like that. First of all, Arjuna was thinking that he has to kill this Drona, Bhishma and others and fight this big Mahabharata war and take over the, take back the kingdom from Duryodhana, and in that process so many people are going to get killed. He was feeling a lot of responsibility on his shoulders, in other words. He thought himself a very important person. The false ego, basically. That's the false ego. In all of us, it's there. It's there in Arjuna also. So all this false ego was operating in through Arjuna's mind. And Arjuna was thinking that such a big responsibility on him, that they have to win the war, although Krishna is there to help, but still he was thinking that he is the person who is doing it. This has to go. Krishna has to get it out from his head. That's why at one point Krishna told Arjuna, Arjuna, if you think that you are conducting this war, you are totally mistaken. I'm only allowing you to fight this war because you can get the credit at the end. That's Nimitta Matram Bhava Savya Sachin. At the end of Bhagavad Gita, you will see that. Krishna is saying this to Arjuna. Whether you fight or not, they are all killed already. With full confidence, Krishna is saying to Arjuna, they are already killed. There is nothing more to be killed. But if it happens through you, you will get the credit that you have fought and won this war. In that way, Mahabharata war was fought. So here you can see that even if you study book, Shastram, after a long period of deliberations and discussions, still you will find it very hard to accept that you are not this body. Isn't it? No matter how much we discuss this, that I am not this body, I am not this mind, I am not this intelligence, similarly I am not this false ego. Even if 100,000 times it's spoken and still read in the book, when it comes to life, we are unable to come out of this bodily identity. So, through Alpavijaram, through the analysis of the soul, you can come to understand on a theoretical level that I am not this body, mind or intelligence, but pure consciousness. But pure consciousness. But when Arjuna saw this universal form, for first time Arjuna's false ego straight away dropped there. He realized that he is nothing. He is nothing in this creation. And this is the message to us also from Krishna. Till we accept that we are nothing in this creation. Now we are thinking we are all great souls descended on this planet to save this world. And so many illusions on our head, isn't it? I am this, I am that. So many identities we have. Everybody in this world. There is no one free from that. Krishna is pointing out to us that we are nothing in Krishna's creation. It's just like one of those bubbles that comes out and goes away in few seconds. That's what we are. So this first hand experience Arjuna had when he saw the universal form. That was the immediate effect on Arjuna. To prove to Arjuna, Arjuna also used to think, I am somebody very important. He used to think like that. Although he is a devotee, no doubt. He had great attachment for Krishna. He is a devotee. But sometimes, in spite of hearing Bhagavad Gita, on a later instance, when that Sandana Gopalam, the 10 children of Brahmana, when they were higher planets, and the Brahmanas came up and started complaining about it, you should see Arjuna's words at that time. Arjuna says to him, do you know who I am? I'm not Krishna and Balaram, he says. I'm Arjuna. Aham vai Arjuna nama. He says, my name is Arjuna, it's not Krishna and Balaram, he says. So you can see the power of false ego is such. It doesn't leave anybody. Why it's called false ego? You think that it is there and you manage to somehow keep him under control, but then he will pop up somewhere else straight away in another form. This is the problem with this man. He's not there, you don't know where he is, but he comes out when it's necessary. So this is the difficulty with the false ego. So but when Arjuna saw the universal form, the first time he realized that this consciousness from where Bodham, Avabodham it is called, or Chit Shakti, from there everything has come. And that thing which has come from there, which is the cause of everything. It is from the Chit Shakti that this creation is happening. That Chit Shakti. Satya Chitta Anandam, isn't it? That Chit Shakti's manifestation in reality, what he was experiencing in the universal form. From Chit Shakti, so many things were coming. So many incarnations were coming. And so many different forms were coming with different names from there. Different forms and different names were coming from there. That is why that when the Upanishads, the statement about this, Yaha Sarvajnaha Sarvavid. Krishna is defined, the Upanishad says, Sarvajnaha. When we refer to Chit Shakti, it is mentioned like that. Sarvajnaha, who knows everything, from where everything is originating. Sarvajnaha and Sarvavid, who knows what is going on all the time, past, present and the future. We say past, present and future. Arjuna is experiencing past, present and the future same time. There was no, on one side past was going on, other side present is happening. And somewhere else. So this past, present and future is a completely illusion thing. In reality it doesn't exist. What is past for today for us, the mind says something is from the past, something is for the future. That is only in relationship with the body and the mind. But when it comes to the Adhishthanam, Adhishthanam means the basis where everything is happening, which is Brahman or Chit Shakti. In Chit Shakti, when Arjuna is seeing this, he is seeing that there is no past, there is no present, there is no future. So many things are happening. Everything is happening there, right then, in front of him. So he could not understand this. He realized it, that through the mind, when you look at something, there is past, present and the future. If you take away the mind and you start experiencing something inside without the help of the mind, then past, present and future doesn't exist. I'll give you an example. Anything you experience in this world, you experience through the mind, isn't it? Suppose you had a nice pot of sweet rice. You get the your mind will say, I enjoyed it. I liked it very much. The sweet rice is very good, or something like that. Similarly, anything what you have seen, what you have smelled, or what you have touched, what you have tasted, all these things is what is called in the Shastram as Sukham, happiness. That sukham, to experience that, you need the mind. You need the mind. Without the mind, you can't experience it, isn't it? So anything in this world, in the form of happiness or distress, what you are experiencing, the agent who is experiencing it is the mind, is the mind. Now, this is where the difference comes. Here, Arjuna is seeing something, and Arjuna is experiencing something, but not through the mind. Not through the mind. It is a direct experience of Krishna's presence in this world. You know, that's what he wanted to see. In all the living entities, he asked Krishna, how you have entered into all this living? You say you are present everywhere. How is your presence felt in all the living entities? So in answer to that, when Krishna made Arjuna to experience that universal form, Arjuna realized it that he is also a part of that universal form. Up to that time, he was thinking he is separate from the universal form. I am separate. Krishna is showing his universal form, but I am independent. This is what Arjuna thought first. But when he saw Arjuna also in the universal form, he got frightened. You can imagine how that will be. Today, our false ego keeps us a separate identity for us, isn't it? It gives us a separate identity. In everything, we will say, I'll do this for you, and I will do that for you, and all kinds of things. We tell people like that. I'm a taxpayer. I'm this, I'm that. All kinds of ideas are stacked up inside. But then suddenly Krishna comes and shows to us that you are a part of this whole thing. Sure. You feel that you lost your identity. So how you feel? How would you feel? That losing that identity means losing the false ego. That's what happened. And we are all frightened of losing our false ego. This is the most difficult thing. We are very frightened of losing our own false ego, because it's a false ego that keeps us going in this world. This is the most difficult thing. When we come to spiritual life, we immediately see that there's a completely different situation there. All along, we will keep on saying, even this is why in Bhagavatam there are certain very interesting things about it. Krishna is saying in the Ekadasha Skandam that Arjuna, Uddhava, there is nothing higher than satsangam, he says. Satsangam. Talking about, hearing about Krishna and experiencing Krishna directly from the satsangam. Why did Krishna give so much importance to satsangam compared to all other process? Not even chanting, he has given that importance. If you look into Bhagavatam, you will see there. Narodhayadimam yogo, na sankhyam na uddhava. He says, no yogam, no sankhyam, nothing is as important as satsangam. Why is that? Reason is this. That in every spiritual activity what we do in this world, there is false ego there. It's not free from that. You may be chanting, even while chanting you are thinking, I am chanting. So, false ego, he'll be always in the front of everything. In every activity what you perform in this world, the false ego is always in the front. A guru will think, I am a guru. A disciple will think, I am a disciple. Is it not? How will you take it away from him? And even anybody, doesn't matter, right? From the United States president to the lowest man in the street, he says, I am somebody. In this world. I'm somebody in this world. So this somebody has to go, and I have to realize that I'm nobody. This is Krishna consciousness. Krishna, that is what is Krishna is teaching us. You are nobody. You are nobody in this creation. Krishna is everything. There is only Krishna in the creation. We are all just like that, the waves that comes and creates a lot of bubbles in this, and the bubbles go, we come and we go. That's what. But when our consciousness changes, we realize that who we are actually, then this false ego has completely gone away from us. That is why, ya sarvajnaha sarvavid, and in every vyavaharam, vyavaharam means transactions in this world, whatever transaction you'll do, who does the transaction? The false ego, isn't it? He stands in the front first. All other things at the back. He does the transaction. This false ego does the transaction. That is why Krishna says there, while seeing the universal form and later also, he says there, once you see this universal form, what will happen is that person will come to realize what is known as Sarva Dharman Parityajya, Mamekam Sharanam Vraja. It will happen to him. Once you know that there is only Krishna in this creation, the immediate reaction from the devotee or a person who had the good fortune of seeing Krishna's universal form will be that he will surrender straight away, knowing well that he is nothing. He is nothing in this world. So it also brings to understand certain other things. Today we are concerned about rules and regulations in this world, isn't it? Many rules and regulations, even in spiritual life also. Lot of things we consider it is important. And we also think a lot of people are demons, a lot of people are devotees. Is it not? We have all this classification at the moment. Somebody is a devotee, somebody is a demon. We classify in that way. But when you experience universal form, when you realize it, that there is only Krishna in this creation, Upanishads calls it as Logavattu Leela Kaivalyam. In other words, this whole creation and all what is going on here is nothing but Krishna's pastimes. It's Krishna's pastime. Krishna's pastimes is not only what you read in the Bhagavadam. That is when Krishna's pastimes, when Krishna was present in this world. But the pastime is continuing, whether he is present or not. Pastime hasn't changed. And in this pastime is that the whole universe itself is Krishna's another pastimes. And knowing that, not getting too disturbed over it, and without any attachment, living here, without any false ego, in a peaceful state, to live in this world and be satisfied with everything. And that is the reason Krishna has shown that universal form to Arjuna. When Arjuna saw that universal form, Arjuna realized that he has nothing to do in this world. First thing, reaction from him was, he had nothing to do with this world. When Krishna is running this whole creation in such a fantastic way, Arjuna started realizing he has no role in this. At the moment, we are thinking we have a big role here, isn't it? To do a lot of things to do in this world. So many misunderstanding in our tiny brain has got in there. If I don't do this, what will happen? The whole family, what will happen to the family? What will happen to the society? And similarly, the politicians are thinking, if I don't do this, what will happen to the country? This way it goes on. Businessmen are thinking, if I don't run around, what will happen to my business industry? Like this, everyone has taken up some responsibility on their heads and they are identifying with it and thinking that if they don't do it, what will happen? This is their worry, isn't it? But when Arjuna was also thinking in the same way, that if I don't fight this war, or if I do fight this war, what will happen? He was concerned about the consequences of the war, that Drona will be killed, Bhishma will be killed, so many children will be left without the parents, without their father. And even after we acquire the kingdom, what good is it? Remember the first chapter in the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna preaching to Krishna. But when universal form he saw, he started feeling a little bit awkward, because for what he has spoken before to Arjuna, he started realizing that this whole creation is going on without Arjuna's help. Whole creation is going on. And in order to bring Arjuna to his senses, Krishna had to show the universal form. And also to make him aware that there is nothing to be done in this creation. The person who has created, Logavattu Leela Kaivalyam, Upanishad says, that Krishna's pastime is this world. This world is Krishna's pastime. Difficult to accept it because we have not understood anything else except this world. We think this world is the only truth existing. But from the Upanishad, the rishis have put this underline and told us that this world, this creation is Krishna's activity. What Krishna decides, that will happen here. One way it may be like this, one way it may be in another way. Which way it will happen, that we don't know. That is completely controlled by another place, by Krishna's arrangement. That is why in the Bhagavadam you will see one verse repeatedly spoken. Ishasya hi vashe logo yosha darumai yatha. Ishasya hi vashe logo. That Ishvara, controller, Krishna, he is controlling everything. And the world is also under his control. Here everybody is fighting each other for supremacy, isn't it? One is saying, capitalists are saying, we want control over, communists are saying, we want the control over everything. But ishasihi vashaye logo, who is under control? Sometimes communism stays, then it goes. Sometimes capitalism says that will also go one day. And this way, the world, so many things are coming, going, changing, changing, changing all the time. But above all these things, ishasihi vashaye logo, under supreme controller Ishwara, Krishna is controlling everything from behind. Vashaye logo yosha dharumayi yatha, it says. Just like yosha dharumayi yatha, there is a lot of puppets in the puppet show. And these puppets, they got strings behind it. And the man who is playing with the puppets, he controls the puppets, he pulls the strings according to his plan. And the puppets have to play their role. We also have to play our role in this world and go from here. That's all what we have to do here. Just to understand what is Krishna's position and what is our position in this, Krishna's creation. Knowing now that we have nothing to do in this creation, in this world. Krishna is running everything as he, but unless we see this universal form, we won't experience that. We won't accept it. We will think, oh, something Krishna is saying, and maybe it applies to Arjuna, not to me, or some kind of. So therefore, in the beginning itself, it says this universal form, for one who is aspiring to see, can see the universal form. It is not only for Arjuna. So for us also, anyone can see the universal form, because what is happening in the universal form is Krishna is permeating in everything. And that is all universal form is all about. When we see, when Krishna is talking to Uddhava later in the Bhagavatam also, that all you have to realize, Uddhava, remember what he said, Tundu sarvam parityajya sneham svajana bandushu maya veshyamana samyak samadrek vijarasvagam. We think we have a lot of responsibility here. But Krishna's point is to Uddhava, Uddhava, there is nothing here for you to do. Everything is over. Once I leave this world, leave this planet, it will not be even a place worthwhile to live here. He mentions that in the 7th chapter, isn't it? So there he says to Uddhava, Uddhava, Tondu sarvam parityajya, give up without any attachment anywhere in this world. No attachment anywhere. Tondu sarvam parityajya. What all? Sneham svajana bandushu. One's own people, thinking that it's my friend, my family, my society. Svajanam bandushu, relations. And then leave all that. Maya veshya mana. Understand who I am, Krishna is. And fix your mind in Krishna. Samyak. Without again separating from that. Completely fixed on that. Samadrak. See everything on an equal level. Because it's only Krishna who is present in this world. There's nothing else. Samadrek Vijaraswagam. Walk through this world. Krishna says to Uddhava in the Bhagavatam. So, the effect of this universal form on Arjuna was that Arjuna realized how insignificant he is in the creation. How insignificant he is. That was the immediate impact. Secondly, Arjuna lost that false ego completely from him. When he saw that, he is nobody in the creation. So this experience happens to many, many great devotees also. They move on to this state of realization. Now, in the Bhagavad Gita, the first 6 chapters are karma pradhanam, isn't it? All relationship with karma. The first 6 chapters are karma pradhanam. Mainly spoken about karma yogam and talked about the different aspects of karma. First 6 chapters in the Bhagavad Gita is in relationship with karma, karma pradhanyam. So, so in the same chapter, in the second chapter when Krishna began, he talked about jnanam also, about knowledge also, jnana margam. He spoke in very concise form. If you remember that in the second chapter, before Krishna moved on to the karma process, karma yogam, Krishna talked about jnana margam in a very nutshell, a few 15-20 verses. He spoke the highest knowledge, which is from the Sankhya philosophy. He brought it in there. സാഖ്യം ആൻഡ് കഠോപനിഷത്ത് ആൻഡ് അതർ തിങ്സ് ഹി ബ്രോട്ട് ദർ. ദാറ്റ്സ് വാട്ട് ദോസ് വേഴ്സസ് വി ഡിസ്കസ് ബിഫോർ. ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് ദ വേഴ്സസ് ബിഗിങ് ഫ്രം 11th വേഴ്സ് ഇൻ ദി സെക്കൻഡ് ചാപ്റ്റർ. ഇറ്റ് ഗോസ് ഫോർ അബൌട്ട് 15 വേഴ്സസ് ഓർ സംതിങ് വേർ ഹി ടോക്സ് ഓൺലി അബൌട്ട് ദ സോൾ, അബൌട്ട് ദി ആബ്സലൂട്ട് നേച്ചർ ഓഫ് ദ സോൾ. അവിനാശിതി തദ്വിധി യേന സർവമിദം തദം ഓൾ ദ ന ജായതേ മ്രിയതേ വാ കദാചിൽ നായം ഭൂത്വാ ഭവിതോ വാനഭൂയ അജോ നിത്യം ശാശ്വതോയം പുരാണം ന ഹന്യതേ ഹന്യമാനേ ശരീരേ. ഓൾ ദോസ് വേഴ്സസ് ഇസ് ജ്ഞാനം. സിമിലറി ദേഹിനോസ്മിൻ യഥാ ദേഹേ കൗമാരം യുവനം ച. ദിസ് ഇസ് ഓൾ ജ്ഞാനം. ദിസ് ഇസ് ഓൾ ജ്ഞാനം. സോ ഇൻട്രൊഡക്ഷൻ ടു ജ്ഞാനം വാസ് സ്പോക്കൺ ദർ. ദി പ്രോബ്ലം ഈസ് that without knowing the knowledge, without having that knowledge or jnanam, you cannot make karmam into a yoga. This is the reason for that. In order to change our karmam, karmam is what we do every day, to turn that into karma yoga, you have to know the science of the soul, that is why in a very in a very concise form, Krishna put the knowledge of the soul in 15-20 verses in the beginning of the second chapter. So what is karma yoga means? Karma yoga means not that I just do karmam and don't expect any results from that. That is not what karma yoga means. So that is not the proper understanding of karma yoga. Some people will say like that, though you should do the karmam but not expect any results from that. But the difficulty is that whoever does karmam in this world, he has to desire the results. It is difficult otherwise, isn't it? We cannot do any karmam without expecting any results from that. So actually karmam means, we misunderstand karmam sometimes. The karmam origin is from inside. It's not outside. Sometimes we say, I've done that work, this work, that work. But actually, before you have done that work, it has originated inside you. The desire was already there. So karmam, in other words, it is called Icha. Icha means desire. The manifestation of desire in the world outside is called karmam. Isn't it? So the desire what one has inside, its manifestation outside is called karma. So so it is difficult to expect that somebody will execute some karma without desire inside. It is not possible to execute any karma in this world. So the idea is then, so without desire, if you are executing karma, it means it is a contradiction. The desire is there, it has manifested in the form of action, and that is when you call it as karma. So actually by karma yoga, what is expected is that how you can destroy that desires inside little by little. That is the purpose of karma yoga. Karma yoga is not doing work and not expecting results. That is not karma yoga. This is all misunderstanding of karma yoga. Karma yoga is, if there is karma, it means there is desire inside in a person. By engaging in karma in such a way, how to destroy those desires what has developed inside, that is called karma yoga. We have to go back to that, because so many things now comes in this chapter. So here, this is the subtle differences. If we don't accept these things, then you will find it very difficult. Because a lot of people, when they present karma yoga, they will say, oh, I am performing karma yoga. And if you ask them, what is your understanding of karma yoga? They will say that I'm not expecting any results. I'm doing these things because I'm doing it as a yoga process, karma yoga, not expecting any results, I'm doing it. But that's not what it is. Once you are doing karma, it means that you have desires. Otherwise, you won't do any karma in this world if there is no desire. When we have such lot of desires, what happens? We'll get up at 4 o'clock in the morning Right up to 10 o'clock in the night, you'll be busy. That is the indication of that desires inside a person. A lot of desires, a lot of karma. And when knowledge develops inside, what happens? I have nothing to do in this world. This is the realization. This doing, 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 doing has gone on for so many lifetimes. And now also, we find it very difficult to accept that concept, isn't it? As soon as you say something about spiritual life, you will ask, what should I do for that now? This is the interesting thing. And it is so interesting. You will listen about the soul. In spiritual life, what they say is, don't do anything. It is by doing that you have become like this, where you are today. You got a nice material body and create more desires and more material activity and more body and continuing this cycle. So it's by doing that we are caught into this situation today where we are. So what Shastram is telling us, you have done enough now, stop doing and get rid of those which is already there pushing you to do things, those desires. So exhausting that desires from inside is called Karma Yoga. Exhausting that desires inside is called Karma Yoga. And not creating fresh desires inside. Then you are released from this. This is all liberation means. Liberation means this. We think liberation means whole life, busy day and night, and one day the flight comes to go to Golokam. This all this in our head. Something we have misunderstood about all these things. That is why, at the very last, after talking whole of Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna is saying to Uddhava, Uddhava, there is no thing called bondage, there is no thing called liberation either. It's all in our head. We have created all these things. Is it not? So therefore, Bandho Mukta Iti Vyakhya Gunato Me Namastuda Gunasya Maya Mulatval Name Moksho Na Bandhanam. Krishna says to Uddhava, Uddhava, this is all what is inside you, that you have created this bondage, you got this idea of liberation, everything. Every time now, like we say, as soon as a devotee die, we say, oh, he has gone back, entered into the final pastimes or whatever we say about him. What do we know? What we are talking about? We are talking so many things because that's how we thought about it, that we go and we go somewhere else and Krishna is waiting there for us to come and join him. So anyway, these things will be clear when one starts putting little bit more sense into it and start thinking about it. Why is Krishna saying like this in one way, in one place, in one way, in another place, in that way? So whatever it is, so this karma yogam, the idea is that somehow or the other, the variety of desires what you have created inside must get cleared up from inside. And if when that happens, when that karma vasana has gone, the soul which is inside by very nature, which is Satya, Chitta and Anandam, it will manifest. It will manifest. That is what? That is the karma chalanam. Karma chalanam means the movement due to the powerful effect of karma. Due to the powerful effect of karma. That suppose how powerful this vasana, you may have observed yourself. I don't have to say this. Say we are discussing very serious topic from Bhagavad Gita. Some topic we are discussing, which you are also very interested. And you are listening, I am speaking, and suddenly the mobile phone rang. You will take the mobile phone and look at it, and you will think, it's a very important order or business deal, what you had to do. You will completely leave Bhagavad Gita, go with the mobile out. Would you not? Why? Because if you don't take that call, that is called karma vasana. The vasana inside, the karma desires inside, will tell you at that time, Bhagavad Gita is not important, that business deal is important. That is how karma vasana manifests in a person. Not to be blamed anyone for that. We all have come with vasanas into this world. So, in reality, this is how the world runs. The world runs in this way. So therefore, realized soul, if you see how they deal with karma, then you will know that how they have brought it under control. Brought under control means by not surrendering to this desire, by wiping out the desires from inside, they have become so peaceful inside. They are saying that they give the example like this, that Jala Pakshiva Drotha Sadhanam. What it means is, there is a chimney there standing. And there is a hole at the bottom of the chimney. A small bird got inside that. Small bird got inside that. And it wants to come out. It doesn't know the hole through which it got in. So what did the bird do? Bird wants to fly. Naturally, he wants to escape by flying. He knows that's all what it knows. It knows that it has got its wings. It can use it and fly. So it starts flying. Every time it flies, it goes and hits the top and falls back again. And it went on and flying and flying and flying, trying to get out of the chimney. It could never get out. Eventually, it got so tired and it drops down there. And then in that state, he looks, he sees the hole through which he has got in. Up to that time, he didn't see. Karma is like that. We will do so much karma here. One day, we'll get so tired at the end. And then he will say, what next? What should I do now? That is where little bit spiritual life will come. Up to that point, we have to wait. We have no choice till we finish all the responsibilities and karma in this world. So long as vasanas is inside, the mind will move. Mind will move. And you will notice this, without your knowledge, even you have no control over it. Without your knowledge, you will get up. And you will go into action straight away. Why does that happen? Because that is how powerful the vasana is inside. Vasana is inside. So many things in this world are like that, but we don't take notice of it, isn't it? In Devi Mahalmim, there's a book, famous book, Devi Mahalmim. He talks about Sri Parvati as the mind, as the controllers of the mind. And says there, how powerfully he controls us. For example, Yadevi Sarvabhudeshu Kshudharupena Samstida Namastasyai 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 Namo Nama. Three times obeisances to her. Why? Yadevi Sarvabhudeshu Kshudharupena Samstida. Inside us, as soon as hunger develops, what will you do? You won't think about Bhagavad Gita, think about Prasadam. Is it not? How powerful she is. Then as soon as the hunger hits you hard, if we tell someone that, look, Prabhu, we're discussing a very important chapter in the Bhagavad Gita, it says, after prasadam, we'll do that. Why? Why is it like that? That is the strength, her strength in us. This is how much we are controlled. Similarly, you may be listening to Bhagavad Gita and all that, and suddenly she pulled the shutter. You have to go to sleep. You have no choice there. You may struggle very hard to listen to. And to understand what is, your mind is struggling, intelligence is struggling. No, she has pulled the shutter there. She has put you to sleep. You have no choice there. And to such extent, all these things are under her control. Prakriti, Maya, whatever way you address her, doesn't matter. Sri Parvati, all are different names for her. But she controls us. Within this Maya, we have no choice. You may be a pure devotee. You may be half devotee, quarter devotee, doesn't matter. 100% pure. When she pulls the curtain, pure devotee also has to sleep. And the Kanishtha Dhyari also has to sleep. No choice there. There's no choice given. So that powerful she is. That's why Krishna says in the 7th chapter, Bhumira Panalo Vayu Ghammano Buddhirevaja Ahangare Diyame Bhinna Prakriti Ashtatha. That Prakriti, my nature. Material nature is powerful. She is in control of everything. So here also, this bird which has got in, once you open up, he will go away from, the bird will go in. Similarly, as long as these vasanas are inside, the desires are inside, mind will never be peaceful about anything. So, how to wipe out all the vasanas from inside. That is the most important thing. How to wipe out all the vasanas inside. Vasana, you know what it means. Everything what you do in this world, it will go inside and create a line inside. And that line will get thicker and thicker as you keep on repeating the same work. That is what is called as karma vasana. Karma vasana will become strengthened one after day after day. And how to wipe that out from inside, that is called yatnyam. Yatnyam, Krishna calls the word as Yajnam, yajanam it is called. And that yajanam, and that is what is called karma yoga. How to wipe out that vasanas from inside. So what, when one comes to know that Brahman or the absolute truth is the only reality, and that realization has to become very deep inside. Till then it won't happen. Till then it won't happen. To practice karma yoga is not so easy. That still we have completely anchored to the reality that Krishna is the only truth. Everything else in this creation is temporary or false, whichever way you want to take it. The reality, underlying reality behind everything is Krishna, the soul, Atma, whichever, abhodam, avabhodam, whichever way you want to address it. And we also have to come to the understanding that realizing that self or knowledge or realization of that truth, absolute truth as a soul, is the only goal in life that has to be decided first. Once that has happened, and you have to know who is controlling everything from behind. So that is why, if you look into the chapter before this, in the 10th chapter, Krishna said there, Aham Atma Guda Kesha Sarva Bhuda Shayastida Aham Adyanja Madhyanja Bhudanam Andame Vacha. If you remember that verse, that is the important realization from that chapter. In that chapter, two important things Krishna has spoken. Vibhuti. Vibhuti means Krishna's opulences. A lot of opulences Krishna spoke. All these chapters, there's a lot of deeper understanding behind it. It's not just spoken, Arjuna, you read, I am this, I am this, I am this, and I read all the verses and I told somebody else. No, it's not like that. You see, Vibhuti means opulences. In English, it's translated as opulences. So, Arjuna heard 9 chapters. 10 chapters, the opulence of the absolute, isn't it? Arjuna could not understand that Krishna is present everywhere. In everything, there is only Krishna. Or Krishna is saying this to Arjuna. So at that point, Arjuna asked Krishna, how are you present in everything? So initially, Krishna says to Arjuna, Arjuna, if you see like this, in various things, wherever you find something extraordinary, you see me there. You see that extraordinary nature is me, my presence there. A lot of examples Krishna gives there. About 40, 50 examples Krishna has given there. And ultimately, Krishna says to Arjuna, Arjuna, what is the necessity to say all these things to you now? Because if you simply understand, my greatest opulence is I am present in everyone, he said. Remember that. Yadyad vibhuti matsatvam srimadurjidam evava tatta devavagachatvam mama tejom shasambhavam. My tejas, my opulence is this, that I am present everywhere, in everyone, he said. So when Arjuna said that, when Krishna said that, Arjuna started thinking. He's saying that first he told me to look everywhere, wherever there is something extraordinary, to see me there. Now he's saying that he's present in everywhere. So again, Arjuna is having some problems. Arjuna's mind is like our mind, isn't it? Always doubting Thomas. It's always doubting about everything. Constantly doubting. Whatever Krishna is saying, he's doubting still. So Arjuna's doubts, Krishna could see on his face. And Krishna decided to say to him, Arjuna, there is no need for me to tell a lot of all these things. And therefore, he concluded that 10th chapter with a statement. If you look, you will see there. He says there, Ataidat athava bahuneidena kim yanena tava arjuna vishtabhyahamidam krishnam egam shena sthito jagat. He says, Aham athava bahuneidena kim yanena tava arjuna. Arjuna, what is the use to you by me explaining everything in detail to you? Arjuna, what benefit are you going to get from this? Vishtabhyahamidam krishnam egam shena sthito jagat. If you simply understand that this whole creation that is going on, what you are observing now, is only a very, very minute part of my energy. So that made Arjuna more confused. Already he was confused enough. But now Krishna is saying, all that is what's happening in the whole creation. Ekam shena stito jagat, he says. It's only a small part of mine that is doing that part of the work, part of the job. So it is then that Krishna had to show the universal form to Arjuna. So in that chapter, in that 10th chapter, two things came out. Krishna said, all these vibhuti, opulences are important. But the greatest of all the vibhuti is Aham Atma Gudakesha. I am the soul of everybody. In everyone, I am present as the soul. Sarva Bhudashaya Sthita. In every living entity, I am present there. Aham Adhyanja Madhyanja Bhudanam Andamevacha. Aham Adhyanja Madhyanja Bhudanam Andamevacha. I am the beginning, I am the middle, and I am the end. That is how he spoke. I am the beginning, I am the middle, I am the end. Nothing else happens without me in my absence. He put it like that to Arjuna. So after this Vibhuti Yogam, why it's so important is, if you see many of the pastimes, what happened between Krishna and the devotees, some pastimes will completely surprise you. For example, in the 10th canto, there is a pastime of Krishna where sages all met together and they discussed among the Trinity, Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva, who is more tolerant, isn't it? It's more tolerant. There is a pastime like that. In there, they discussed and they decided Bhrigu Maharshi should go and conduct a test on all of them. On Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva. Who is the greatest among them? This is what they were. The sages are discussing this. In Satyalogam, they were discussing this. To decide who is higher, Brahma, Vishnu or Shiva. So first thing, Bhrigu went to us to Satyalogam, to Brahma himself. And when he went there, Brahma was busy there in the concert was going on, and Brahma was absorbed in conversation with Saraswati, and Brahma did not show much respect to Bhrigu. Brahma did not show any respect to Bhrigu. After all, Bhrigu is his son, isn't it? So from the normal etiquette reasons, there is no need for Brahma to give any respect to Bhrigu. But when Bhrigu went there, Bhrigu saw Brahma and Bhrigu spoke in a rude way to Brahma, just to see how Brahma will react. Brahma thought, he is my son after all. What authority has he got to question me like this? And he got angry. As soon as he got angry, Bhrigu said to him, well, I have understood who you are now. I'm going, he said. And he didn't stay anymore. He left Satyalogam. And then the next thing he went to was to see Shiva in the Kailasam. He went there to see Shiva. When he got there, Shiva saw Bhrigu coming. He was very happy. His brother, isn't it? Brahma's children, both brothers there. Shiva was sitting there completely covered in ashes. And Shiva's dress is elephant skin. And he covers his body with the deer skin. And he has got this garland made of skull and his matted hair. And fully covered in ashes. And Bhrigu doesn't like all that. So when Bhrigu got very close by, Shiva wanted to give him a good hug, embrace him nicely. Bhrigu said, no, wait a minute, he said. Don't touch me, he said. Said, you are so dirty, wearing all these kind of things on your body, ashes on your body, skulls as a garland, and so many things, all inauspicious things. Bhrigu says to him, don't touch me, he said. As soon as Bhrigu said that, Shiva got upset. As soon as Bhrigu said that, Shiva got upset with Bhrigu. So, and when Bhrigu replied like this, Shiva got very angry. He took his trident and wanted to kill him straight away. Went after him. So at that time, Sri Parvati somehow got involved and stopped Shiva from killing him. Otherwise, Bhrigu would have gone from this world. Bhrigu would have gone from this world. Shiva took the trident, wanted to kill Bhrigu, but Parvati somehow told Shiva, don't get angry with him. I got a message from Saraswati from Satyalokam that he is coming here, but unfortunately the message got very late, that we should have been a bit more careful now that he has already taken that you are not a very spiritual person, you're getting so angry so quickly. And Shiva somehow pacified Shiva and kept him there. And then Bhrigu goes to Vaikuntham, isn't it? Where what he saw was worse than anything anywhere else. Vishnu is sleeping in deep sleep. And Mahalakshmi is massaging the feet of Vishnu's feet. So Bhrigu thought, at least in Brahmalokam he had the courtesy to reply me. In Kailasam I went, at least Shiva has reacted with me sometimes. This person doesn't even recognize me that I have come. And so what did he do? He took his foot and kicked on the chest, on Vishnu's chest. Now, somebody who reads all this story, he'll start thinking, what kind of thing this is going on? This is, that's the immediate reaction to that, isn't it? But if you understand Vibhuti Yogam, you will understand the answer to this. Strictly in Krishna's pastimes, the person who is kicking is Krishna. The person who is receiving the kick is also Krishna. So from our mundane level, we will think, oh, it's a great offense Bhrigu is doing. But inside sitting Bhrigu, who is doing kicking, is also the same personality who is getting kicked. It is to bring this understanding that this pastime has been spoken. That in our vision, normal vision, we think the Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva in one level, all differences. Once you come to the spiritual platform, these differences go. They don't exist anymore. They are all only in that particular level of when we consider them as the under the three modes of material nature, Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva conduct the affairs of the universe. That is how you have to understand that. Otherwise, if we simply start thinking, oh, why did Bhrigu do like that? And why did Vishnu not protest about that? And then Bhrigu goes back and says, Vishnu is the best among all the three because he has not reacted strongly like that, like Shiva or Brahma. But why we are saying like this is that, so this vasanas inside, once one has decided that aham atma gudagesha sarvabhuda shesthida aham adyanja madyanja bhudanam andamevacha, he says that till we come to this understanding, what Krishna says that in that chapter on this particular verse, we will keep on running around in all the temples, all the holy places, all the holy rivers, everywhere, till we come to understand. And we have to keep doing that. We have no other choice. All that we have to do. Why? Because we have no experience of the Krishna's presence inside. So once we start experiencing that Krishna is present inside in this way, that we will notice one day that this person whom we were searching in all the temples, all the holy places, holy rivers and everything, is that the same person who is sitting inside us. Who is sitting inside us. So that is why there's a song which says there, you keep on roaming around all over the creation and ultimately you will come back to yourself to find out where he is, where he is. So just like some people, they keep the glass on their nose and they'll be searching for their glasses. Sometimes it happens at the old age, isn't it? So when somebody point out to them that, look, the glass, you have got the glass on here, on tip of your nose, it's there. Ah, then they say, yeah, it's there. So similarly, Krishna also will search everywhere, all over the world, all over the creation to find out. Somebody will say to you, go to Badrinath, he's there. Somebody will say, go to Rameshwaram, he's there actually. Then they'll say, go to Dwaraka, he's there. Somebody will say, go to Mayapur, as though Krishna is not present anywhere else. So in that illusion, we'll keep on. But it is necessary in the beginning till you get some discipline inside. And once you start looking inward, looking starts, then all these things have become very limited importance at that stage. That is how spiritual life is. In the beginning, we do all these things. We have to go so many places till inside it settles down and starts looking where we have to look for, really. So therefore, Shri Krishna also says as to Arjuna, Arjuna, why you are inquiring about all my different vibhuris? So Arjuna was asking this question, how should I see you? Where should I see you? And that was the question. How should I see you? Where should I see you? And that is what is called vibhuti. So this first six chapters I mentioned here is karma pradhanam. It is karma pradhanam. It is important. This is karma. So, but what is the ultimate realization of bhakti? What is the ultimate realization of the bhakti? Ultimate realization is this, that what exists in this whole creation is nothing but Krishna. Nothing but Krishna. So, but normally we won't think like that in the bhakti process. Initially we see the deity in the temple, then we associate with the devotees, we develop some understanding based on Shastram, and hoping that one day I will see Krishna, I will continue my sadhana in this world. That's what everybody does, isn't it? Everybody does that. They continue with their sadhana in this world with the hope to see Krishna in person one day. In person one day. That is the... And when you see Krishna, then you start seeing that you have reached the perfectional state of Krishna consciousness. But the seeing Krishna in the bhakti tradition, a lot of times people may not have thought about this, that beyond than that there is some deeper realizations also. So on a very lower level we'll speak like this. That's important. On a very lower level, if you observe devotees who, if you talk to them about their aspirations, future desires and everything, they will tell you that, oh, maybe I should go to Vrindavan and live there in the particularly in Radhakund or Govardhan somewhere where Krishna was present before, and if I find Krishna there, go, and that is my perfection, like Goswamis have seen there, they have seen Krishna in Govardhan and they have seen Radharani also there. So going there and seeing Krishna and Radharani as the ultimate realization, that is how they have understood at that point in time in life, in their spiritual life, that is their understanding. Many devotees will say the same way, that they see Krishna consciousness perfection as going to Vrindavan somehow, eventually getting there, and if you are able to experience, see Krishna or Radharani there, like the Goswamis have done or Goswamis have spoken about, if it happens to you, then you are also a Goswami tomorrow, aren't you? So that's how it will be seen by the general class of people. In the lower level of bhakti, it is like that. It is like that. But if you study Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, you will notice one thing. Krishna is saying to us that seeing me in person, although it is a devotee's desire and a form he will manifest according to the devotee's desire, Krishna will appear either as Madan Mohan or Govinda or Damodar or whichever form, doesn't matter. That is there. But Krishna is also saying in the Bhagavad Gita, Aham Alma Gudakesha Sarva Bhudashayastida Aham Adhyanja Madhyanja Bhudanam Andamevacha. When you start seeing, a devotee is seeing Krishna's presence in this whole creation, then you can say his Krishna consciousness is perfect. His Krishna consciousness is perfect. Aham Adhyanja Madhyanja Bhudanam Andamevacha. There is nothing else in this creation except Krishna. Except Krishna. So So in a very lower level, because sometimes you can see devotees are in different levels, that you can't avoid it. It will always be like that. That's why in the Bhagavatam, if you see, when devotees are categorized, they are shown three states, isn't it? Uttama Bhakta, Madhyama Bhakta, Prakrita Bhakta, it's called. Or Kanishtha Adhikari or Prakrita Bhakta. It's not called third class. Have you noticed that? First class is Uttama Bhakta. Second class is Madhyama Bhakta. But third class is not called third class. He is called Prakrita Bhakta. He is also a devotee, but he is moving up. Moving up. He is moving up. He is Kanishta, he is called, or Prakrita. So even when seeing Krishna in person and having that personal relationship with Krishna, even that is not considered as the first class devotee. That is what you have to notice there. Sarvabhudeshu yah pashyet bhagavad bhavamalpana bhudani bhagavat yesha savai bhagavado tama. If you look into, this is why we should study Bhagavadam. Otherwise, we will concoct something in our own mind. In our own mind. And what we will do? We will say, somebody has seen Krishna in Vrindavan personally. So he will be considered as the greatest devotee. Greatest devotee. But that is not how Bhagavadam is portraying to us. If you look into Srimad Bhagavadam, you will see there, Sarva Bhudeshu Yapashyed. In all living entities, Bhagavad Bhavam Alpana, Bhagavad Bhavam, form Krishna's presence is experienced by that person. Bhudani Bhagavat Yesha Savai Bhagavadottama. He is the first class devotee. Who is saying this? It is spoken by Hari Maharshi. Hari Maharshi says there in the Bhagavadam in the second chapter, if you look. Yeah, Sarvabhudeshu Yapashet Bhagavad Bhavama Altmana Bhudani Bhagavati Altmanyesha Bhagavado Tamam. Ya Altmanaha Bhagavad Bhavam Sarvabhudeshu Pashel Bhagavadi Altmani Bhudani Chapashet Eshaha Bhagavado Tamaha. He says here, in all living entities, presence of the soul, Krishna's presence in everywhere, and all living entities in the soul, coming as the Adhishtanam, as the basis. He is the pure devotee. He is the pure devotee. There is no reference at all of seeing Krishna as the person in that. Not spoken in that first class devotee. In the second one, it mentions, Ishware tad adhineshu balisheshu dishal sucha premam maitri kripa upeksha yakarodi samadhyamam. Then, Ishware tad adhineshu balisheshu dishal sucha. That means the Madhyama Adhikari, he distinguishes, he discriminates the premam, maitri, kripa, upeksha. He has four different attitudes. How Ishvara, to Krishna he has love. Yes, love for Krishna. Tadadhineshu balisheshu dushalsucham. That. And he does not like if somebody criticizes or somebody blasphemy Krishna or the devotee. He doesn't like it. He openly tells him not to blaspheme the devotee or blaspheme Krishna. That is that second category. Premam, and he makes relationship with devotees who thinks like him. He has a relationship with them. Premam, maitri, kripa. When somebody criticizes, he shows them kripa. If somebody is very critical, who is not willing to change, or dvishatsu, dvishatsu means envious in that sense, to them he completely avoids them. He keeps distance from them. And premam, maitri, kripa. Those who are innocent, but they don't know anything about spiritual life, there is no spiritual understanding of life, to them he shows kripa, mercy to them. So all this is you can expect from a Madhyama Adhikari. And the Prakrita Bhaktan, or one who has began his spiritual life, for him, Archaya meva harai pujam ya shardhaye hadam nadat bhakteshu chaninyeshu sabhakta prakrita spradaham. Ya Archaya meva harai shardhayam pujayam ihade. That means he only knows Krishna is present in the temple. There's no other understanding than that. He'll go to the temple regularly, and he will make probably an offering to the deity, or he will pay his obeisances to the deity. And tad bhakteshu anyeshu cha ihate na ihate sa bhakta prakrita spruda. But with other devotees, his attitude is, they can go to hell. What does it matter? What do I care for them? I have a personal direct relationship with Krishna. And this is what you will find in majority cases. This relationship. This Kanishtha Adhikari's relationship. Prakrita Bhakti, it's called Prakrita, very Prakrita. You will see that Prakrita Bhakti, you may think a lot of devotees is very advanced and all that, but this Prakrita nature won't go away very easily. It takes a very long time to come out of that even. That is why they will say that they are attached to deity and all that. Actually, they are attached to deity only, nothing else. That's the problem. Nadat bhakteshu janyeshu sabhakta prakritaspradaha. So, spiritual advancement in these three different levels, if you observe, the first class devotee, Krishna is saying here, that sarva bhudesha ya pashyel, his realization is so good, he doesn't have to go anywhere else to see Krishna. Sarva bhudesha ya pashyel, is present in every living entity. That is the most important thing what has to be. So now, after saying this, he asked this question. The six chapters he spoke about karma pradhanam, and the next six chapter in the Bhagavad Gita is bhakti. You see, bhakti pradhanam means bhakti is the most important topic discussed. The conclusion of that is the 12th chapter. Conclusion of that is the 12th chapter. And the last six chapters is jnana pradhanam, is all relationship with the knowledge. So what is the ultimate goal of bhakti? Goal of bhakti is, some people will say Ishvara Darshanam, seeing Krishna in that form. But Arjuna says to him that normally in our relationship with Krishna, we go to the temple and we have some distress in our life. We represent our problems to Krishna for some relief from the misery. And when material distress comes in this world in different forms, our reaction to that will be, first thing is to approach Krishna for a relief after we have done everything what we could. So there is nothing wrong in that. It's not considered anything wrong. But the important thing is, where else can a person go when he is in distress? Where else can he approach? Suppose somebody is experiencing a terrible distress due to his physical problems, health problems or something. When you are put into, cornered into a situation where no treatment is working, no solution, and you know very well the rest of the life you are going to be in that state, what can a person do in that state? There is no happiness anymore for him from this world, isn't it? It has taken away all your freedom to move around, and all that little happiness what you are extracting from this world, that's also come to an end. So practically it comes to a stage that you are waiting for leaving this body. And prarabdham is such that you are not able to leave the body. So you have to stay here, but you don't want to stay in that body anymore. If a situation happens like that, what can one do? So there are various situations, scenarios in this world when one can be pushed to that state, War, for example. When madness happens in a world and when there is a full-scale war going on, those who are caught up in that, what's their fate? Mothers running with their children for shelter, for protection, for food. All that scenes what you see in this world, all in the name of liberation and all in the name of all whatever they are doing. Two groups of people are fighting each other. We are saying one is right and one is wrong. Actually, both are wrong. And the one who is trying to sort out is also wrong. Everybody is caught up in this maya, in this form or the other. So when you observe all these things and the misery that is going through all that, severe drought conditions, severe conditions in this world, in a cyclone or earthquake and all that, massive scale destruction happens. There you will notice that you also are helpless about anything in this world. That is when your attention will start thinking, will go into something, a superior power. Up to that time, you won't accept anything. So here, bhakti is referred to, is not rejected, but rather than depending on others, it's better to depend on Krishna. So at least he has that faith in there. And he has also this faith that if I approach the deity, he will listen. Sometimes it works. The deity, if he is qualified and if he is entitled for it, he will get it. He will get relief from his misery also. So this is going on. Sometimes it may not be like that. Sometimes people, they make this as a whole business. Whole lifetime they'll be asking from Krishna something or the other. So there was in one temple, there's a huge Shivalingam, Shiva's form, in the Linga form was there. So an old grandmother used to go there to that temple. And every day she used to say so many of her desires. First she was talking about her, her husband and her children. And then when she had grandchildren, she started praying for them also. It has become her habit. Whole life she has done this and it has become her habit. So this pujari there in that temple, he used to observe this. Every day she coming with new demand, new request to Shiva to pass. So one day he thought, there was nobody else in the temple. He thought, let me have some fun. So he stand behind this huge Shivalingam, he stood there. So as usual, this old grandmother came and she started praying, telling all her requests. So pujari from behind said to her, come, I'm ready. I'll accept you now. Come, I can take you away from this world. You don't have to go through this misery anymore, he says to her. She heard that. She got frightened. I have to leave everything and go. She was not ready for that. So she has changed the whole thing. After that, she stopped praying. She didn't go anymore. So there are people like that in this world who keep on asking all the time, continuously, non-stop. So they expect everything to be. They say, if we get it, fine. If you don't get it, it's also fine. But that's how they are. So this is a different philosophical understanding anyway. So what you are saying was that, initially we go to the deity form and we start praying all these things. And sometimes we may not have the faith also. And this appearance of Krishna in that form, it is addressed as Archavadaram. Archavadaram means the deity form for worshipping purposes. Because unless that form is there, it's difficult to start somewhere in spiritual life. Deity worship is necessary at that stage. In the Bhagavatam also, in three levels it's spoken. And is the lowest level is this bhakti in the temple. The bhakti in the temple is the lowest level. Archayam eva haraye. He says, Archayam eva haraye. Pujayam shradaye hate. Nadat bhakteshu janyeshu. Sabhakta pragrada spradaha. Such a person is pragradam. Pragradam means he is very unrefined, you can say. He is not refined at all. In a very crude form of worship. That is what he is doing at that stage. At that stage. In the initial stages of that deity worship. But you can see how this understanding very easily permeates into the society also. Everybody starts thinking that going to the temple and deity worship is Krishna consciousness. That alone is Krishna consciousness. It will turn out like that at the end. So rather than they'll leave the philosophy behind, the deeper understanding of Krishna consciousness, everything will go and simply become temple-oriented everything. That also is not the best thing, because that's not what we find in the case of great devotees. Great devotees. So hearing about Krishna, hearing about philosophy, all that is not the priority. So but when one moves a little forward from there, that is where chanting the holy name, everything starts. One gets a little bit more deeper understanding. That is when one starts realizing that the Krishna's approaching Krishna simply for satisfying my material needs cannot be the goal of life. When that realization comes, he gets to a little higher stage. Due to association with some pure devotees or due to association with Shastram, somehow or the other, he starts understanding, a spiritual knowledge starts entering into him. He starts seeing his identity more than the body, little higher than the body. And in that level, he relates relationship with Krishna through the holy name. Chanting the holy name starts at that time, or Sankirtanam, or meditation, all these things. But initially, all these things won't be there. He'll go to the temple. He will see the deity and probably he will offer some money to the deity or pay obeisances to the deity, take some photos and he'll go home after that. That's the initial stages. So, so at the same time, he does not have any interest in hearing about Krishna. He doesn't have any interest in chanting the holy name. He doesn't have interest in studying Shastram also. He looks at Shastram and all in a different way. In other words, this is what Shastram, after all, he will even make the remark after it was also written by some human being. They'll make a remark like that about Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. And then when he comes to Bhagavad Gita and he starts reading Bhagavad Gita, he will start looking at pictures first. He won't have any clue what's written inside the Bhagavad Gita. He won't inquire any more deeper than that. So that is all belongs to this category, Prakrita Bhakta. Prakrita Bhakta, Prakrita Smaha. Once you go a little bit higher than that, Madhyama Bhakti it is called. And for him, he is a little bit more established in his spiritual life. Mind has become a little bit more focused. And he has also started chanting the holy name, and which is a great step in life. It's a great step in life. And everyone will say, Nama Japam, chanting the holy name is very simple. People say like that, isn't it? Chanting is a very simple. But Srimad Bhagavatam also says, just chant the holy name. Bhagavatam also saying the same message, but chanting the holy. But how many people are chanting in this world? 100,000 people will come for Janmashtami. But how many people will chant the holy name? They only want on that day for a visit. That's all. More than that, they are also not serious about spiritual life. And therefore, they all belong to this first category of the Prakrita Bhakta. They are in that state. They are in that state. Because it is not so easy to chant the holy name. That is why, immediately in the 10th chapter, Krishna says, Yajnanam Japayajnosmi. It is the reason why Krishna said that. In that 10th chapter, two things he said. First thing, this is the most important message in that chapter. Aham Atma Gudakesha Sarva Bhudashayastida. Aham Adhyanja Madhyanja Bhudanam Andamevacha. That means, I am the one who is present in all living entities as the soul. Aham Atma Gudakesha. I am the soul of everyone. Sarva Bhudashayastida. In every living entity. Aham Adhyam Madhyam Andam. I am the beginning, middle and the end of everything. With this realization, Krishna is saying here, Yajnanam Japayajnosmi, chant the holy name. And then, Stavaranam Himalayam, Maharshinam Bhriguraham, Giram Asmikekshayam, Yajnanam Japayajnosmi, Stavaranam Himalaya. Krishna is mentioning there that if with this understanding, if you chant the holy name, Yajnanam Japayajnosmi, then you will realize, understand me. Otherwise, it's not possible. If we simply start thinking, chanting the holy name is for Krishna to appear in front of us one day, or for any other material desires, if you chant the holy name, that is not chanting. Chanting the holy name is with this understanding, Aham Atma Guda Akesha Sarva Bhuda Shayastida Aham Adhyanja Madhyanja Bhudanam Andame Vaja. With this understanding, Krishna says, Maharshinam Bhriguraham Giramasmi Magetsharam Yajnanam Javayajnosmi Stavaranam Himalayam. Yajnanam Javayajnosmi, of all the yajnam, of all the sacrifices, chanting the holy name is me, Krishna says. Isn't it? So, chanting the holy name is not a simple thing. How many people chant the holy name with this understanding? Aham Atma Gudakesha Sarva Bhudashayastida. Because in that 10th chapter, these are the two important things what Krishna wants to stress to Arjuna. One thing, Aham Atma Gudakesha. Secondly, Yajnanam Japayajnosmi. All other things what is spoken there, Stavaranam, it's all the opulences of that. But direct instructions to Arjuna is this. Of all the sacrifices in this world, Krishna says to Arjuna, chanting the holy name, Namajavam. Namajavam, chanting the holy name is Yajnam. You see? But if that chanting is not with this understanding, then it is not good. It's not good. It is chanting. Sometimes chanting can develop into different ways it can go. Sometimes people will chant, it will become a musical concert. Sometime it can develop into a show. In various ways it can turn into. But the seriousness with which Krishna has spoken Yajnanam Japayajnosmi is this understanding of Aham Atma Gudakesha. So realization and the sadhana should complement and work together. Should complement and work together. So we'll stop there. It's 3:30 and after 1/4 hour we'll continue. No, okay. Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Hare 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 Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare So, three kinds of devotees. Prakritam, Madhyamam, Uttamam. Uttama Bhakti is the pure devotee. The second one, Madhyama Bhakta. And the third one is the Prakritam. So, Prakritam, one moves on to Madhyama stage. And from Madhyamam to Uttama Bhakti. So, we've seen that Krishna mentions here, Archayam Eva Haraye. We saw that. Pujayam Shraddhaye Hate. Natad Bhakteshu Janyeshu Sabhakta Prakrita Smrita. That a devotee who is only attached to temple, going to temple, doing deity worship, and don't seeing other devotees anymore, and no relationship with the other devotees, or considers that that the other devotees are not worthwhile giving attention to, and such approach is Prakritam. Prakrita Smrita. Sabhakta Prakrita Smrita. So, when one is so strongly attached to the temple and the deity, the difficulty what happens is, as soon as you leave the temple, your Krishna consciousness also goes along with that. Like if you release the tire from the air from the tube, from the car tire, as you open, all the air goes away. Similarly, their Krishna consciousness, then they will do anything outside. Everything will be justified also. So that is why Krishna is saying there that even if you leave the temple in the from the early days, it is like that for everyone. When you come out, if you have to remember Krishna, that's smaranam. Remembrance of Krishna is an important thing. That is what makes a person from the third stage to the second stage. That means remembrance Krishna, remembering Krishna even after leaving the temple, still able to remember Krishna and in that way relate with others in that way. That makes a person Madhyama Adhikari or Madhyama stage, it brings him to. So in the Bhagavad Gita, you will see that such a person, his interest is not finished with the temple. It extends further. He wants to hear about Krishna. He wants to develop relationship with the devotees. This is all the nature of such a person who is moving from the lowest level to the middle level. He will always see him enthusiastic, developing relationship with devotees, number one. He will also be enthusiastic to hear about Krishna. Doesn't matter everything he may not understand, he may not have attachment or liking for everything, but still, he will still think if there is a satsangam, he would like to go and listen to that. These are the symptoms of a person moving from the lower category to the middle category. In the lower category, only temple, nowhere else. Krishna is not present anywhere else. And that too, he thinks he has a direct relationship with Krishna and he doesn't take notice of anything else, what goes on. So from that stage, he moves on and he comes to this stage where he started remembrance of Krishna. And that remembrance gets strengthened in satsangam from Bhagavadam, Bhagavad Gita, and he start more and more absorption happens to him. That is why in the Bhagavadam, when we discuss about that devotees, there is a statement there. It says there, Smaranda smarayandascha mitho akhaugharam harim bhaktya sanjadeya bhaktya vibratyut pulagam tanum. Parasparanukathanam, these are all the nature of such a devotee. Parasparanukathanam pavanam bhagavad yashal mithoradir midastushtir nivartir mitham almana. The nature of such a devotee, how he will conduct his business in this world. Parasparanukathanam, he will talk about Krishna consciousness with other devotees. He likes to discuss Krishna consciousness. He doesn't want to discuss all other mundane topics. That's not his interest. He knows that I should understand Krishna properly, like in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, what Krishna has spoken. Like to understand. And also, a genuine interest in advancing. You will observe that in a person when you see his how he conducts his life. Parasparanu kathanam. Mutually, he likes to discuss with devotees who are interested in Krishna. Pavanam, Bhagavad Yashas. He will always see Krishna is amazing. Why? Because Krishna has impressed him so much with the knowledge, renunciation, and the six different opulences of Krishna. Particularly, many people, they are impressed by Krishna's knowledge, isn't it? Something the whole world doesn't tell you, Krishna is telling you. Is it not? No world will tell you about what Krishna is talking about. Well, who else will? Even the best universities in the world won't tell you about the subtle aspect of life, about human life in this world, the purpose of the human life. And Krishna talks about our pure teaching us who we are. Who else is teaching us? Which university teaches us who we are? Except Krishna. So attraction to Krishna is that subtle knowledge, the way Krishna conducted himself in this world and his loving devotion, the love for the devotees, all these different things attracts a person to Krishna. Attracts the person to Krishna. So that is why it said, Parasparanukathanam pavanam bhagavad yashas midhoradhir midatushtir nivirtir midhamal manam. Then he is extracting happiness from these kind of mutual discussions and mutual satisfaction. And at the same time, he also started realizing that I should not go to anybody else for getting rid of my distress in life except from Krishna. A strong bondage starts building up inside with Krishna. These are all the symptoms of a middle class devotee or middle level or Madhyama Bhakta. These are the nature. And then what else? Smaranda smarayandascha mito akhaugaharam harim. That he is remembering Krishna and he wants to remind others also of Krishna. That is Maranda Smarayandascha Mito Akhaugaharam Harim. That he also mentions there that that the bhakti what he has achieved by now, by this stage, Smaranda Smarayandascha. When he wants to remember Krishna, he chant the holy name. He chant the holy name. Smaranda Smarayandascha. And Mito Akhaugaharam Harim. And sometimes Bhaktya Sanjadeya Bhaktya. That bhakti that has developed in his heart by now, vibratyut pulagam dhanum, sometimes thinking about Krishna, something Krishna has spoken, or some of Krishna's activities in this world, Krishna's dealing with the devotees, thinking about that, mityakhauga pulagam harim, that pulagam dhanum, his body becomes very ecstatic. He becomes, feels ecstasy from there, thinking about Krishna. These are all the symptoms of a devotee who has moved on to the second stage, from the Kanishta stage, from the Prakrita Bhakta to Madhyama Bhakta. That is the where this transfer, the shift that's happening to a devotee. then it goes on. So you can see these classifications, three classifications. Uttama Bhakta, Prakrita Bhakta, Madhyama Bhakta, Prakrita Bhakta. All of them have their own peculiar way of living in this world. In a peculiar way, they live in this world. So, here, chanting is in this middle level. Chanting is not in the Kanishta level. Chanting, Kanishta level, it is temple. Going to temple, seeing the deity, and appreciating Krishna is present there in the deity form. Or, if he is in a distressful state, presenting his distress to Krishna, looking for a solution. But little bit more advanced than that, when he comes to the middle platform, that he started realizing that he wants to have some relationship with Krishna. And that relationship is directed towards self-realization. But he hasn't reached, doesn't have the knowledge yet. Proper knowledge of the soul, spiritual life, importance of spiritual life, all these things is not strong enough inside. Therefore, but there is bhakti in him. He has knowledge, some knowledge of the Shastram. He understands that the Krishna is the absolute truth and Krishna's shelter is necessary in life. But at the same time, he also sees the differences in this world. He sees a lot of differences. He starts discriminating devotees. One devotee, one is a devotee, one is a demon. And these kind of differentiations is in him still. He hasn't left that stage yet. So in order that the peace, what Krishna talks about, then what we have to recognize here is that between Krishna and us, there is only one shelter, one shutter, and that is the mind. That is the mind. Between us and Krishna, we are spirit soul. Krishna's presence in us is there. Krishna is there. But what is actually not allowing us to understand Krishna or able to have any relationship with Krishna, it is this thing called mind. So mind means what? Full of chittavritti, isn't it? Thoughts coming one after the other. So practically, if you have managed to bring it down, this level of thoughts inside, naturally there will be shanti inside, peace inside. And the more the thoughts inside, the more chittavritti will happen and it becomes more difficult for knowledge of the soul. To experience Krishna, it becomes more difficult. So, practically people ask this question, how do I reflect on the soul? What should I do? What answer to that is, you don't have to do anything, you stop all other thoughts. Then naturally the thoughts will come towards Krishna. Most of the question is that what shall I do to Atmavijaram or Brahmavijaram, that is what it is called, to understand Krishna means that how do I absorb myself in Krishna? The answer to that is you don't have to do anything to absorb in Krishna. You stop all the other thoughts what's coming in. And that is what most of the people find it very difficult. Because chittavritti is a continuous flow of thoughts, constantly coming one after the other. And sometimes you will notice this, people will ask you some question, by the time you answer, you will have already put the second question. That's how fast their mind is moving. You can observe all these things in people. They don't have the patience even to answer answer the first question. Before that, the second question comes out. And it is kind of, and they have forgotten the first question, what they have asked by then. That's how the mind is moving. This is not spiritual life. Spiritual life means that the mind should be able to withdraw from all these things in this world. And when constantly absorbed in Krishna, these kind of questions and all other things will come to a dead stop. It has no more importance after that. So that is why Krishna says here, Yajñānam Japayajñosmi. Chanting will initially arrest this continuous flow of thoughts. You can observe yourself, you are chanting the holy name. If you have chanted something like 64 rounds or something, by the end of that 64 rounds, practically the mind is completely subdued. It won't anymore give you the same trouble when you started chanting the holy name. It is the immediate effect of the holy name. So, so these are ways in which how to bring, that is why they say, all the great devotees say, keep chanting. Because you will keep on asking questions, so they want to escape from you, so they'll tell you, keep chanting. There's no other way. What can you do? If somebody comes to you with a million questions and says, if you answer me all these questions, then I will accept Krishna consciousness. So instead of answering that person, he says to him, yes, yes, I have a solution for you. You chant a million rounds and then we will discuss after that, because he knows very well after chanting the million rounds, there won't be any questions after that. Questions is coming from the mind. It is the mind that is throwing these questions. That is why in the Vedantam, it is addressed as samshayal viyamana. Manasa means what? Samshayam, doubt. Nothing else. Krishna is not a subject for a debate to be convinced about. Krishna is not a subject for a debate. Krishna is a reality. It is more real than me, my own body. My own body will go one day. But Krishna won't go. Krishna is a real thing. But we have not accommodated that within us. We are still thinking, I am real. Krishna is imaginary thing. This is how I am living now in this world. And that is where all this problem is coming from. So this vijaram is this thoughts, continuously thought, thinking about these things, is a block for peace, shanti, virodham for shanti. So sometimes we'll say peace of mind. Isn't it? Have you seen people using this word? Actually, it's a wrong usage. Wherever there is mind, there is no peace. If there is peace, there is no mind. So this thing called peace of mind has no meaning at all. It's a completely false concept. False concept. That is, sometimes people say, I had a few pints and I am feeling peace of mind. They're also feeling peace of mind. In other words, what he has done is, he has taken alcohol and he has managed to stop thinking for a while. That is how his peace of mind has come. But that is not from Vedantam. There is no such thing called peace of mind. Mind can never be peaceful. Mind itself is nothing but thoughts coming one after the other, one after the other. And the more that frequency or the speed at which the thoughts are coming, the more one is disturbed. More one is disturbed. So that is why. So therefore, many times, many great personal, great devotees, they will say, if you go to them, they will say, go and sit alone somewhere and chant the holy name for a long period of time. A long period of time. Why? By doing that, this thing called mind from inside, he will come to some stability or some peaceful state. There are so many books about that. You will see about Japa Yogam. How chanting the holy name, different people are perfected in different ways. Many great devotees, whichever school they come from, personal, impersonal, doesn't matter. Holy name, they have taken shelter. Namajapam, chanting the holy name, is one of the easiest. And easiest in the sense, compared to all other processes, it is the easiest process. And it's also a very effective process. And Krishna mentions this, that the in self-realization, just chanting alone is sufficient. We are thinking that there is something going to happen after chanting for so many years and all. Actually, nothing happens. All what happens is, after chanting a long period of time, and with the way Krishna has spoken about, if you follow that Japa Yogam, Japa process properly, at some point in time, you lose your connection with the body and connection with the world, and that is liberated state. That is the liberated state. In other words, practically you can see our understanding of spiritual life is what our mind tells us now, isn't it? We think like that. We think that we will chant so many years, so many rounds, then we will go to Vrindavan and live there in some bushes or somewhere, and one day Krishna will appear in front of me. That is going to be my perfection, spiritual life. Or Radharani, like it has happened. Devotees dream all these things in their head, that what should happen to them at some point in life. And before, nothing happens. They die and go at the end. Nothing happens. And then we say, oh, he has gone back to the spiritual world. But this is our mind is creating all these problems. Practically, if you understand spiritual life from the way Shastram explains to us, Bhagavatam explains to us, Krishna is explaining to us, Krishna is saying to us, this whole thing called the mind is the whole problem. From beginning to end, it is the one that is causing the problem. How to get that under control first? That means once the mind goes away, there is no more mind operating within him, then there is only the soul in its pure form functioning, illuminates himself. Soul doesn't require any external help of illumination. It illuminates once the moment the mind goes away. So, you will notice that therefore chanting the holy name has taken over by many, many great devotees. Kabir, for example. Kabir Das, he was very fond of chanting the holy name. Tulsidas, he chanted the holy name, Ramchandra's name. They were all chanting. So, ultimately you can see that in Kabir says about this, that he says that he wanted somebody to be instruct him properly in the holy name. He wanted to receive from a highly realized soul. That is why that story of Kabir, if you read, you will see that in Banaras, there was a great sannyasi at that time. He was called Swami Ramananda. He came in the Ramanuja Sampradaya. As a Vaishnava Acharya he was. And Kabir was born in a Muslim family. And he had no access to Ramananda, Swami Ramananda. He tried to approach him many times, but you know, always, whenever there is a very highly spiritual personality around him, centered around him, there will be some of his disciples who will not allow anybody to go to him. They will put the first block there, put the spanner there. So the same thing was with Ramananda also. He had some disciples who completely rejected Kabir, not knowing Kabir's position. They used to think that he is just an ordinary person, and that too he is a Muslim who was born as a Muslim. But whether he was born as a Muslim, Hindu, Christian, doesn't matter. The burning fire inside for self-realization was so high, which they couldn't see. The followers of Ramananda could not see that. So they stopped him from approaching him. So it was then that one day Kabir decided, intense desire inside, to take that holy name from Ramananda. So one early hours in the morning, Ramananda was coming to bathe in Ganga River. So there is one particular ghat, Manikarniya ghat, or one of the ghats, where Ramananda used to come in the morning, walk very fast down through that steps into the river. So what Kabir did was, Kabir was lying down on the step in the darkness. When Ramananda came down, he was walking very fast. In that process, he put his feet on Kabir by mistake and pushed. Then he sensed that it was a body on which he put his feet. And Ramananda straight away looked back and asked him, "Who are you?" He said, I am your disciple, he said. "You have given me the mercy." That much faith he had in Ramananda. And when he put the feet, he said, "Rama Rama." And he put the feet. And that was the initiation for Kabir. Kabir accepted that. And he goes back, and from then on he chanted the holy name day in and day out. And he, you know what level Kabir has reached in his spiritual level, spiritual life. So spiritual life is like that. Strong faith in the holy name and the mercy from a great soul like that. Krishna's arrangement, it was that the mercy had to go to Kabir in that way. So Ramananda blessed Kabir with that and Ramananda received the initiation in that way. So basically what it says here is that if a person is matured in spiritual life, maturity is the most important thing. Maturity means that he is ready for it, to receive that initiation properly. And just like dry wood it is, just like the dry wood. Dry wood, as soon as you set fire to it, it will burn. It will burn, isn't it? You remember in the Bhagavatam, these three types of wood spoken. First class wood, if you set fire, if the spark of fire burn falls on that, it will catch fire straight away. The second class wood, it needs drying. It needs drying sometime. And after a lot of drying, what is that drying? Drying is nothing, but he has to go through a lot of misery in this world. That is the drying process. He will get dry. And when he gets dried, it will catch fire. The third one, it is very wet at the moment. So no matter how much you try to fire it, to light it, it won't catch the fire. Parthava dharano bhumi, it is in the Bhagavatam in the first canto, second chapter. Trayimaya, these three categories. All devotees also fall into these three categories. Someone who is very matured, who is very seriously inquiring and advancing in spiritual life, means that means he is experiencing spiritual life to some extent, is like that dry wood. There's a second class who is actually not ready yet fully. He has some attachment in this world. He has some desires to fulfill. So that is that wet wood. He needs drying up. And the third one, no matter what you tell him, you give him the best spiritual master in the world, even Krishna comes and instructs him, nothing will happen. That is the third class, third category, which is considered like the wet banana plant. Banana plant, when it is wet, you cannot use it as a firewood, can you? Because it won't burn no matter what you do to it. It is so wet. So these three categories of devotees also do exist in this world. We must take that into account as well. So, on the other hand, one who is fully ready to burn, he just has to hear once, that's enough, it catches the fire straight away. Chit Shakti, works in that. So, he will escape, somehow he will escape. Yadhartatamo ubadeshena kridhartha satyabuddhiman ajivamai jitnyasu parastatra vimuhyati. It is in the Ashtavakra Gita. Ashtavakra Maharshi says this very nicely. Who is Ashtavakra? Ashtavakra used to speak to Janaka, King Janaka, isn't it? What he says there is, Ashtavakra says, Yatha tatobhadeshena krithartha sattvabuddhiman ajivam abhi jitnyasu parastatra vimuhyadi. This is a discussion between Ashtavakra Maharshi and Janaka Maharshi. Ashtavakra is saying to Janaka, one who has come to the pure spiritual platform and who is in the pure mode of goodness, for him only a very small instruction is sufficient. He is merely conscious of the soul and he goes flying. He goes flying. But one who has no purification inside, even if he hears for a very, very long time from anyone, it doesn't matter. And whatever instructions you give it to him, he will spend the whole lifetime in collecting this information, but never experience the soul, and he remains in ignorance rest of the life. This is Ashtavakra's statement. It's a very important thing, because what happened was, Janaka was a realized soul. Krishna confirms that, isn't it? In Bhagavad Gita, Astido Janakadeya, he says. Janaka was a realized soul. And Janaka had to run the administration of the kingdom. People asked Janaka, how do you do this? Two things together. Janaka said, for me, there is only the soul, nothing else existing. And Ashtavakra Maharshi used to come and visit Janaka. And Janaka sometimes used to go and visit Ashtavakra Maharshi in the ashram. Once what happened was, this is in the Yoga Vasishtam, this comes. Ashtavakra Maharshi is sitting in his ashram. Janaka came there. Ashtavakra Maharshi had a few brahmacharis with him. He was teaching them, disciples. He was teaching them. While teaching them, when Janaka walked in, Ashtavakra Maharshi stopped teaching and received Janaka very well. So these brahmacharis thought, he is a king after all. Why does Ashtavakra give so much importance? Why does our Guru Maharaj give so much importance to him? Maybe because he is giving a lot of money. Because that's what happens, isn't it? Somebody gives a lot of money, gives a lot of... So maybe because that... So they started... Disciples are everywhere same. They also talk in the same way. So disciples started talking each other like this, that he must be giving a lot of money, that's why he gives so much. They're talking about their own guru. They're talking this. So Ashtavakra Maharshi knows these things, how the disciples are. Ashtavakra Maharshi had a long conversation with Janaka on various things about self-realization. After that, he left. Janaka Maharshi, Janaka Maharaj left the palace, the ashram, and these brahmacharis, he started calling them back to come back for the instructions further. So they say to him, he says to them that, what are you so busy about? So they are saying that, we have left our cowpean outside for drying. It's raining, we are going to get it back. They were busy with their cowpean. Janaka Maharaj, somebody brought the message while he was discussing with Ashtavakra Maharshi that his palace is burning. There is a fire in the palace. The palace is burning. Janaka says to him, even if the palace burns, nothing happens to the soul. What Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, soul cannot be burned. This was the reply from Janaka to Ashtavakra. Actually, the palace was burned by the yogic power of Ashtavakra. In order to teach his disciples this important thing, that in self-realization, nothing matters at the end. What matters is how serious you are about the soul. That is the point he was making to his own disciples. You are concerned about a small piece of cloth, a cowpean, which was hanging outside, and you wanted to protect that. That's where you are. His palace was burning. Janaka was not disturbed over it. That's where Janaka is. This was the message. So it is that Ashtavakra Maharshi is saying here, Yatha tathopadeshena krithartha sattva-buddhiman. If he is ready for spiritual life, spiritual knowledge, if he has that renunciation, the knowledge and detachment from this world, and if he is instructed, it will fire straight away. In the Bhagavadam, that principles is very much followed. There are so many verses in the Bhagavadam to stress this point. One who is not ready for spiritual life, there is no point in keep on beating him. You keep making him spiritual. He won't become spiritual. He is not ready for it. Poor man. What's the point in beating him day in and day out? He hasn't learned anything from this world. He still has to understand what Krishna says, isn't it? That material body is a misery. Material world is misery. And there's a lot of problems in this world. There is no happiness. All these realizations has to happen first before we talking about spiritual world and association with the gopis and all that. That all comes much later. But in Ashtavakra's words, he says here, Ajivam api jityasu parastatra vimukhyati. Ajivam api jityasu. That one who is not a jityasu, one who has not reached that stage, don't waste your time instructing him whole life about spiritual life. Because he is not ready for it. He will not understand what you are saying to him. So, there he says here that he will remain in ignorance for the rest of the life. That person has to remain in ignorance, because this is Ashtavakra Maharshi's famous statement in the Ashtavakra Gita. So here Ashtavakra says, if he is matured completely, then he will hold on to something in spiritual life and he will escape. It's not that process is that what matters. I mentioned this so many times before. People have this misunderstanding. If I have the right guru and if I am following the right process, I should get the right result. This is how they have understood. It is not like that. We have to become ready for it first, to escape from here. If we are ready, then Krishna will send that person, and even a very small instruction from him, you will escape from here, from this misery. That is why it says here, otherwise what will happen? That person will keep on asking the whole life question and question and question. There's a lot of questions will come from that. So, some doubts will never get cleared up. Doubts will never get cleared up. One question will go, another doubt will come after that. So, that is why if you look into great devotees in the Bhagavadam, they have made one statement always. Have you observed that? What they say? They say that, Prahlada for example, what does Prahlada say? Krishna is not something very difficult to get. He says, this is not something very difficult to get. In our own mind, we have developed this understanding. Oh, Krishna is very, very hard. Maybe many lifetimes I have to work very hard to get Krishna. That is not how Bhagavatam presents to us. Siddhatval iha sarvada. Always who is available is Krishna, nothing else. Siddhatval iha sarvada. that always if something is available, that is Krishna. This is where spiritual knowledge takes the control. Why does he say like that? Prahlada said, it is not very difficult to get Krishna, he says. It is not very difficult to get Krishna. And then we start reading that, well, it's okay for Prahlada to say like that, not for me. This is how we will interpret that straight away. But that is not what Bhagavatam is saying here. Bhagavatam is saying like this, that everything else in this world is difficult to get. But Krishna is the easiest thing to get. Why do they say like that? Reason is that throughout your existence in this world, if one thing which is always with you is Krishna, you have understood Krishna in a different way. That is another thing. How do I say that Krishna is always with you? In the form of that awareness, I am existing, I am existing, I am existing all the time. That awareness is Krishna. That awareness is Krishna. You can't deny that. Whether you're a Hindu, Muslim, Christian, doesn't matter who you are. This awareness is the same. There is no Christian awareness, Muslim awareness, Hindu awareness. Once you come to Vedantam, this is the beauty of the Vedanta philosophy, that it doesn't say this awareness is in everyone, every living entity. One who has taken notice of it and one who has accepted it, he is advanced. He has got Krishna. He has got Krishna. Other person who is studying books, he is doing a lot of sadhana, he is doing a lot of things, but still he is thinking Krishna is far, far away. That is why Prahlada says there, Siddhatval iha sarvada. Siddhatval iha sarvada. You see, due to limitations means when you have identified with the body, you are already limited, isn't it? This is called Egadeshiya Sata. In Shastram, it's called Egadeshiya Sata. Egadeshiya Sata means you feel identification with the body so strongly that you are feeling you are only present inside this body and you have no connection with anything else in this world. But the fact of the matter is that this body has come to you. You didn't go and get hold of the body. Let me explain that, what it means. Have you any time felt that you were born? Nobody in this world will tell you that I have the experience of my taking birth. No, it is not possible. Why? Because you are never born. This is the reason. That is why Krishna's words are so selective. Na jayate. You don't take birth. But if you talk to people who are celebrating birthday party and who are doing all kinds of nonsense in the time of even devotees, I don't know what has gone into their head. Na jayate, Krishna is saying to us, you don't take birth. Then he is going and celebrating birthday party. So what do you say to them? What have they understood? Na jayate mriyate va kadachil nayam bhutva bhavito vana bhuya ajaha nityaha shashodaha puranaha ajo nityam shashodoyam puranam na hanyate hanyamane sharire. That verse is the direct answer to the birthday party. Otherwise, what is the meaning of all this? On one side, I am celebrating birthday party. Other side, I am chanting this verse. So what am I doing? Am I fooling myself or am I fooling others on that? In the early days, Prabhupada never allowed all these things. This birthday party. Birthday party is all new things that's come. And we are thinking that this is the most important thing in life, my birthday party. Na jayate, Krishna is saying. The answer to that is, can anyone say that I remember my birth? Because it's not a real thing. That is why. Body is not a real thing. I am always existing. Body has come and gone. So what can I do about it? Where have I taken birth? When have I taken birth? Nobody can say that they have taken birth. Birth is for the body. Is it not? Birth is for the body. But what do we do? We make that also an opportunity to enjoy. And so in that level, if we remain like that, it will cause a lot of difficulty. We have to come out of this. Otherwise, what is the knowledge? What is Krishna's knowledge? Bhagavad Gita means. Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying here that the Ijnanam Javayosmi, here he mentions like this, that Krishna is available for those who accept Krishna's instructions. Is it not? Otherwise, if we don't accept what Krishna is saying, constantly acting against this. So, easiest thing to get in this world is Krishna, provided we accept what Krishna says. Yajnanam javayajnyosmi najayate mriyate. Similarly, it is equally important that although we are all frightened about death, actually we are not frightened about the death, because there is no such thing called death. These all are very fundamental things in spiritual life. If we don't understand, we are not even spiritual. We are as good as the materialists are. There's no difference. Simply verses reciting them is no good. At the end, if that realization should be there, as much as we don't know, we don't experience birth, because we know very well that we were not born. We know very well that we continue to exist. There is no time when we don't exist. When all this understanding is there, then what are we celebrating? Equally like the birth, we also know inside, after death, I will still be there. It's a, somebody is telling from inside, it's not the end of the game. Everybody knows that. That is why we don't feel disturbed over it too much. What we are concerned about is losing this body. That is what we are concerned, because due to bodily identification, attachment to this body, we started thinking we are this body. This is all the mind that has created this problem. From the spiritual position, body has nothing to do with us. The soul doesn't need a body. Body has come up to the soul. Soul didn't go looking for the body. Soul is completely independent by nature. It's totally independent, isn't it? Swarad. That's why Bhagavatam uses that word, swarad. Fully independent. That is the nature of the soul. Nature of the body is always to be dependent. Material nature, isn't it? So when you study Srimad Bhagavatam, these important words, they mean a lot more to it than simply one English translation. That's not what it means. It's much more deeper level. The sages, due to their very deep realizations, they are telling us in Srimad Bhagavatam, through 18,000 verses, what they have brought in front of us. The whole rishis, the sages, they have thrown a completely new philosophy in front of us, making us to understand what we are. Just to make us understand what we are. They have stopped researching in the world outside. They are saying to us, if you have not understood what you are, stop all your other research. It's all a waste of time. And if you have understood what you are, then you will not require any more research afterwards. There's no need for. That is why they turned into self-realization so deeply into that level, and they gave us the whole science of the self-realization through Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. So that's why here, it says here, that the... it's already something already there in us. Siddhatva liha sarvada. The soul who is present inside, who is aware, whose presence is experienced by us in the form of consciousness, awareness all the time of my existence, hold on to that. That is our identity, not the body. Not the body. So, always you will see that different sadhana. Sadhana is all in a one level. Different sadhanas are given to come to this understanding. To come to this understanding. So, and Krishna is saying there that in order to that to happen, there is not a long way to go. Yajnanam javayajnyosmi. Krishna says, make this chanting the holy name as the best yajnam. As the possible yajnam. So, so that javam. Chanting process, what all the great devotees have followed throughout their life. So they are saying here that a steadiness in order to get in japam, in standing, a nishta is necessary. This is the opinion of the great devotees. That means one has to take a vow, I will chant a certain number of rounds every day. Certain number of time, certain number of hours every day. It's not that I'll chant for 1 or 2 days for 64 rounds and then afterwards for a few days I'll take a break and then I'll come back when I want. That's not the system. System is that this is where what they call it as nishtha. The idea is that they want that the mind should lose its grip on us. That's the purpose. In order that the mind should lose its grip on us, this chanting will create that situation. Initially, it is like that. At a later date, in the Parabhakti state, chanting is on a different level altogether. Brahmabhuta prasannatma, na shochati, na kaankshati, sama sarveshu bhudeshu, madbhaktim labhade param. That bhakti that is spoken there is on a different level. But this holy name, chanting the holy name, initially, one should take a vow that he will chant the holy name a certain number of times or a certain number, certain periods for a every day as a steady sadhana. It has to be performed. Nishtha, it is called nishtha. The purpose is that it loses, it gets this mind's grip on us. So the mind continuously is resisting. It creates chittavritti, isn't it? But at the moment, what we are experiencing now is our mind, isn't it? What we are experiencing is our mind. And when this mind subdues or when it surrenders, ultimately, it goes and surrenders somewhere. And in the Shaiva Siddhantam, they talk about it in a different way. They will present the Lord Shiva's presence in the cemetery, Shmashanam or cemetery as it is mentioned there, that where the mind goes and gets itself destroyed. Mind goes itself and gets destroyed. That is the symmetry. From their spiritual viewpoint. So whatever it is, when the mind gets controlled, subdued, and chittavritti stops inside, at that time that the soul is in its pure existence of experiencing its pure identity, or it is what is referred to as Krishna consciousness. That means that the spiritual nature of a person will manifest in him. Spiritual recognition or spiritual realization will happen to that person, because the thing that was blocking him all the way through was this mind. So, initially he sees only in the temple, the first step, isn't it? Only in the temple. Secondly, he has developed this attachment to Krishna and friendship with the devotees. And those who does not have bhakti, he feels a little difficulty in dealing with them. And the second stage therefore, when he feels that difficulty, that is when he becomes a madhyamadhikari. That he feels some difficulty in this world while dealing with the people. Initially, he thinks it's only in the temple. And he does his business outside in whichever way he likes it. But when he makes more progress from that stage, he starts realizing that when he sees a lot of people in this world without bhakti, without recognition of Krishna as the absolute truth, and not taking that instructions of Bhagavad Gita, he feels sorry for them. He feels sorry for them, and he wants to help or explain Krishna consciousness to them in some way, and that is when he becomes to the Madhyamadhyari's platform, becomes the second stage. And it is at this stage that he enters into various kinds of activities, because he genuinely desires that others should also become devotee, others also should get devotion. And similarly, because people, when they say to him about their distress, he knows very well the solution to the problem is Krishna consciousness, nothing else. So he wants to help others through Krishna consciousness, not through any other means. So similarly, those who does not have devotion, when he sees them, he ignores them. And even if they give a lot of trouble to him, ignores him and gives him a lot of trouble, and give him a lot of problems, still he doesn't hate them. Upeksha, that is that. Premam, Maitri, Kripa, Upeksha. Upeksha means that without any revengeful way, without any feeling of apradigara purvagam, that is how it is said. In the Viveka Chudamani it says, apradigara purvagam. Apradigara purvagam means everyone is giving him trouble, But he doesn't have any enmity inside. He doesn't want to react or to retaliate towards that person who is giving him trouble. Chinda vilabarahidam. And he does not lament about it. Oh, such and such a person has done such and such a thing to me. Or I should teach him a lesson and things like that. He doesn't think like that. He just thinks he has done like that. All right, Krishna has done like that through him. Leave him alone and go to somewhere else and do something else. So that's how the Madhyama Adhikari or the person in the Madhyama stage thinks about him. And the third person who has gone beyond than that, he stops all activities, all seva, all kinds of reformation, refining the world or changing the world, all these things comes to an end. For him, he is asking the question, who has to serve whom? That is his question. Who is there to serve whom? You see, we are seeing everything in one way. We are seeing the world has to be changed. The world has to be rectified, reformed. And we are thinking when we read Bhagavatam, we are on the side of Prahlada, not on the side of Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu is a demon. I'll help Prahlada to fight Hiranyakashipu. This kind of thoughts. But this is all in that level only, in that early stages. When you understand Srimad Bhagavatam properly, at some point you will start seeing this Hiranyakashipu, this Ravana, this Kamsa, whom we are seeing as the baddies, or what do they call it, the demons. They have also come from the spiritual world. Is it not? Whom we consider Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, Ravana and Kumbhakarna, Shishupala and Dandavakra as really demons, isn't it? Rakshasas or Asuras or whatever you like to call them. But think about them. Where did they come from? They came from the spiritual world. They came from the spiritual world. So, a first-class devotee, Sarvabhudeshu Yapashyel, he has to see Krishna in Hiranyakashipu also. He has to see Krishna in Ravana as well. So that is a very higher level of realization. Very higher level of... He is the first class devotee. Sarva, that you cannot act. In your own way, you cannot think like that. It won't work like that. Your state of consciousness has to rise to that level that you have come to the stage that Krishna is who is present in Hiranyakashipu. Krishna is present in Prahlada. Krishna is present in Shishupala, Krishna is present in Yudhishthira Maharaj also. It is a very higher stage of realization. Sarva Bhudeshu Yapashyed Bhagavad Bhavam Atmana. Bhagavad Bhavam in all living entities. Why we are saying all these things is not for judging others, to judge ourselves where we stand. And if you look, you will see carefully, we are struggling at the very bottom. We are struggling there at the very bottom. Because the same that tendencies in a Prakrita Bhakta is in all of us. Prakrita Bhakti is very much in all of us. We are not unable to come out of that even. So here, Sarva Bhudeshu Yapashyed Bhagavad Bhavam Atmana Bhudani Bhagavatyesha Savai Bhagavadottama Hiranyakashipu and Prahlada, for a self-realized pure devotee, for him they are all same. He won't say, but when while preaching, in order to make Prahlada's position understand as a devotee, it is spoken in a different way. You can see that in the Bhagavadam. If you look into seventh canto of Bhagavadam, some of the things, how these verses are constructed, how Sukadeva Goswami has spoken those verses. It is mentioned there, satyam vidhadum nijabhrityabhashidam, that most of the people will interpret that verse like this, that in order to make the words of Prahlada true, Narasimha Murthy appeared. That's how it will mean. But if you look into that verse carefully, you will see, satyam vidhadum nijabhrityabhashidam. That word nijabhrityabhashidam, nijabhritya means false servant. Who is that false servant? Actually, Hiranyakashipu is Krishna's servant. Prahlada is not Krishna's servant. Remember that. We are understood, we have understood verses in a different way. Actually, Hiranyakashipu is Krishna's servant. He was the servant, he had the job there before in the spiritual world. In Vaikuntham, he was Krishna's servant. Was it not? He has come here. Prahlada has not become a servant yet. Prahlada, according to Prahlada's background, if you look, Prahlada is the four Kumaras personified as Prahlada. Sanaga, Sananda, Sanadana and Sanat Kumara, they have come as Prahlada. These four personalities, Kumaras, they were instructed in the Jnana Margam by Brahma. Brahma instructed the Jnana Margam to them. You will see that in the Bhagavad Gita in the beginning. What does it say? Logesmin dvida nishta pura proktamaya anaka jnana yogena sankhyanam karma yogena yoginam. That jnana yogena sankhyanam is referred to these four Kumaras. Karma yogena yoginam refers to the Prajapatis. This is how we have to look into the history of all these personalities before we saying something. But ordinary person, he will read this and he will say, Prahlada wanted Krishna to come and Prahlada is Krishna's servant. Actually, Prahlada is not Krishna's servant. Krishna's servant is Hiranyakashipu. That is why it says, Nijabhritya Bhashidam. Nijabhritya means, he was a servant in the spiritual world, but here in the false disguise, he has come as Hiranyakashipu. That is why he is called Nijabhritya. Nijabhritya means, who is in the disguise of a servant. Who is in a disguise, he had come here. So there is a lot of things in the Bhagavadam. When you keep reading, you will notice these things. That Satyam Vidhadum Nijabhritya Bhashidam. What is that Satyam Vidhadum? Satyam Vidhadum means, when he came as Hiranyakashipu, he said many things to Krishna. What are they? To Brahma, in other words. When he took the boon from him, he said, man should not kill me, animal should not kill me. I should not be killed during the day, should not be killed in the night. I should not be killed inside, I should not be killed outside. A lot of boons. This is the Satyam. And in order to make those words true, Narasimhamurti appeared from the pillar. So whose words Narasimhamurti wanted to make it true? His own servant Hiranyakashipu. It was Hiranyakashipu's words to make that true. He appeared from the pillar. We think that Hiranyakashipu is such a big demon and he does not understand anything. Actually, in the Bhagavadam itself, if you look, you will see there Sambrambha Sambrada Samadhi Yogam. These personalities like Hiranyakashipu, Ravana and Kumbhakarna, they were all in the later birth. But in their previous life, before they came here, they were performing Sambrambha Sambrada Samadhi Yogam. They were in Samadhi all the time. So when they were in such a Samadhi there, in the spiritual world, we are condemning them here, thinking that they're calling them demons and all that. All sorts of things, aren't we? We think, we are much better than Hiranyakashipu, we have done. Better than him, we think like that. Is it not? But in reality, you can see Hiranyakashipu's position is far, far ahead of us. He is Krishna's servant in the spiritual world. And due to some Logavattu Lila Kaivalyam, somehow to please Krishna, he has come here in that body and he has gone back. 3 lifetimes, he said nothing. 300 lifetimes first he said. And then Hiranyaksha and Jayavijaya said to Krishna that 300 lifetimes is too much. We want to come back as quickly as possible. And that was the last concession, gave him best offer, 3. And they've gone back. And we? So that is the difference. So spiritual life, we may misunderstand so many things like this. We will think that, initially, we will be on Prahlada's side. We'll think Prahlada, we are with Prahlada. We want to be like Prahlada. But think about Hiranyakashipu also. Don't ignore him, that he has come from that state. So after that we say here that Jatnyanam Javayatnyosmi. That after all these sayings here, you will notice that as much as you understand Bhagavadam, these particular verses are important because from now on we are moving into universal form. And universal form will become totally unfamiliar if you do not understand this aspect of Krishna. This aspect of Krishna. 1000 names of Vishnu is there. Vishnu Sahasranamam. 1000 names it is called. And there, first name by which Vishnu is worshipped with the flowers is Vishwasmai Namah. Vishwasmai Namah. Vishwasmai Namah. Vishwam is Vishnu. The world is Vishnu. The world is Vishnu. Vishwasmai Namah. It says, Vishwam Vishnu Vashalkaro Bhudabhavya Bhavad Prabhu Bhudagart Bhudabhad Bhavo Bhudalma Bhudabhavanam. This is how the chanting of the thousand names of Vishnu begins. Vishwam Vishnu Vashalkaro. This Vishwam is Vishnu. You see? Vishwam is Vishnu. World is Vishnu. And that is what Arjuna is saying now. Vishwam, this whole creation. Only thing is, Arjuna is experiencing Krishna in everything at this point. He is seeing that Krishna is present in everything. Vishwam Vishnu Vashalkaram. Vishnu and Vishwam is non-different. So every name, if you look at it in the thousand names of Vishnu, and you will notice that this word Vishnu itself means one who is present everywhere. One who is present everywhere. And who is that Vishnu? Bhudabhavya Bhavad Prabhu. That is how the next line. Bhudam Bhavyam Bhavat Prabhu. That means past, present and the future, and one who is the controller of the past, present and the future. Now, in our way, how will you understand that? He is sitting there controlling the past. He is keeping control of the present and he is going to decide what he should do in the future. No, that's not what it means. Bhudam Bhavya Bhavat Prabhu means past, present and future, I mentioned before, is so long as you are on the mental platform. Otherwise, all this has no meaning. The time and space and everything, time is past, present and future. It's only when the mind is involved, it becomes past, present and future. If the mind is not involved, everything is present, isn't it? You can imagine that. Because in relationship with the mind only, it is past, present and future. Once you take the mind away from the equation, where is the past? In relationship with what you are saying something as past? In relationship with what you are saying something as present? And similarly something as future? Everything is happening as the adhishtanam or the basis or the what they call as the substratum of the soul. Soul is the adhishtanam. In that soul, all these things are going on. Creation, maintenance, dissolution, sustenance, whatever they call it, isn't it? Everything is happening there in that. There is no past. So that personality in whom all these things are happening. Satyam Param Dhimahi, Bhagavadam says. Bhagavadam uses the word Satyam Param Dhimahi. Throughout Bhagavadam you will see the Satyam. That is the only Satyam. Satyam is that truth, is that soul. In him all these things are happening. Creation is happening. In him, maintenance is happening. In him, everything gets dissolved at the end. If we don't catch hold of that, and if we start simply reading Bhagavatam thinking that Krishna is sitting there, who is controlling everything, past he has done this and future he will do that. If you analyze it that way, that is a very early understanding of the Shastram of Bhagavatam. So nowhere, Arjuna's desire also was that he wanted to see how Krishna is present in this world. So Arjuna has heard about this before, otherwise he would not have asked this question. Krishna did not say anything about it before also. And he didn't even say that he has shown this universal form to others. If you read Bhagavad Gita, you will notice this. Krishna never said to Arjuna, Arjuna, I have shown my universal form to others. Although he showed it to Yashoda Devi, he showed it to Bali Maharaj, he has shown it to Arjuna, Duryodhana and others. Not once Krishna said to Arjuna that, look, I'll show you that form what I've shown to them. He didn't say that. He just kept quiet about it. So only when Arjuna came to that matured state, to understand that Vishwam Vishnu, Vishwasmai Vishnu, Vishwam is Vishnu. Slowly, after hearing this 10th chapter, which is the Vibhuti Yogam, Arjuna's way of thinking has completely changed. Arjuna started seeing Krishna in a different way. because Krishna spoke about all these vibhutis in that chapter, and at the end Krishna says to Arjuna, Arjuna, there is not a lot of things to say. In fact, this whole of creation, egam shena stido jagat, the whole creation is nothing but supported by a fragment of my opulences. When he said that, Arjuna was completely shocked. Then whole creation is part of Krishna's opulences, is it? And this is how, and that is when Krishna decided to show the universal form to Arjuna. Otherwise, Arjuna, if you just tell Arjuna other things, like other way, it won't go into Arjuna's mind. That is why, at that time, Arjuna said, I want to see that form. How you are managing this whole creation. Manyase yadi tat shakyam, maya drashtumidi prabho, yogeshwara tato me tvam, darshayatmanam avyayam. That form I want to see. Which one? Avyayam. Avyayam means inexhaustible, which never stays steady, continuously changing. Continuously changing. So, and Arjuna asked with greatest humility. If you notice there, you'll see there. And you will see a lot of these situations like this in the Srimad Bhagavatam also. You will see a lot of situations there. So, how a disciple goes to a spiritual master because he wants to experience the truth, especially very matured, completely ready for fire, that kind of disciples. In the Bhagavatam, you will notice some of them like that. If you have to study Bhagavatam, you will not observe all these things. Some disciples, they are, it is just like gunpowder. All you have to do is to throw one matchbox into, matchstick into it. It will catch fire. And they are that ready for self-realization, in other words. And such examples you will see in the Bhagavatam. Why is it mentioned like that? So, when you ask the question, I'm just saying whole the background of this Arjuna-Krishna relationship here. Arjuna is asking in a particular way to Krishna. If you are not asked that way, Krishna may not have shown the universal form to him. This also you have to take notice of. Manyase yadi tat shakyam, maya drashtumidi prabho, yogeshwara tato me tvam, darshayatmanam avyayam. That verse is indication of that. That Arjuna's humility, that knowing very well who Arjuna is, he is speaking now. I am nobody. This is Arjuna's realization at that moment. And therefore, Krishna was willing to show the universal form to him. Otherwise not. Unless one comes to that state, that we are nobody in Krishna's creation, we are nothing. Absolute zero we are. And when we come to that state, this realization won't come. Universal form is inaccessible to us. But otherwise, anyone who has reached that state of consciousness, for him, universal form is accessible to them. Manyase yadi tat shakyam, maya drashtumidi prabho, yogeshwara tato me tvam, darshayatmanam avyayam. That Arjuna offers a lot of respect to that aspect of Krishna who is present in the whole creation. Arjuna, with that respect, he is asking, if I am not offensive in asking this question, if I am qualified to see that form, if you do not mind in showing this to me, O Yogeshwara, please reveal that to me. This is how Arjuna asked the question. Normal case, Arjuna would not have asked like that, would he? Arjuna, it is the same person who told our Krishna, can you drive my chariot? See the change, what has happened in him. At one point, Arjuna was saying to Krishna, that I'm looking for a driver. Are you available? This was the mood at that time when he started, when Krishna was driving the chariot in the beginning, that was the relationship. But from there now, it has come to a proper disciple relationship with Krishna. You can see how that humility in Arjuna has come through these words. Manyase yadi tat shakyam, maya drashtumidi prabho. All the words he is using, prabho. Yogeshwara tado me tvam. Yogeshwara, addressing Krishna. Where did all this respect come suddenly from? Yogeshwara tado me tvam, darshayatmanam avyayam. That Arjuna started recognizing, it is not just my friend Krishna is, he is something more than that. Something a lot more than what he thought Krishna is. So you will see this, that a guru, a spiritual master, will assess a disciple based on that approach. based on the approach. These are all important aspects of the guru-disciple relationship. A spiritual master will assess the disciple based on that words, what comes from him. So here, Arjuna never said one word about himself. One word about himself. He only said, if you feel that I have the qualifications to see it, show it to me. And only if you feel that I've got the strength to see it, and you can show it to me. And Krishna knows that if you show this form not in the right place, it will cause problems. Krishna knows that very well. And not only that, he won't believe it if he shows that. This is also another problem with this universal form. Suppose Krishna has shown the universal form to Arjuna without going through all these procedures and without that background, Arjuna also would have said exactly the same way like Duryodhana said. Like Duryodhana said. Krishna had this experience before with Duryodhana. That's why I was saying that Krishna also felt that he made a mistake with Duryodhana. He says that when he showed this universal form, that has happened when the before the war, Mahabharata war, isn't it? That Arjuna was and the Pandavas together got together and told Krishna to go and negotiate with the Kauravas. So when Krishna came to see, Krishna thought that he should negotiate with Dhritarashtra, because he was the king actually, isn't it? Although blind, he was not blind actually. He was much more, his vision was very clear. All interested was propping up his own son. Whether he is good or bad doesn't matter. So he came to negotiate with Dhritarashtra. And when he came for the negotiations, Duryodhana knew that Krishna is coming. And prior to his coming, Duryodhana told all the kings in the assembly, when he comes, none of you should get up. He told everybody that nobody should get up when he comes. We will insult him and we will teach him a lesson and throw him out from here. This was Duryodhana's plan before Krishna's case. And all this was arranged, and we will insult Krishna as much as possible so he doesn't come with any more proposals to talk to us. Duryodhana was so confident about himself, as usually you find some people like that, very confident what they are doing. So when Krishna arrived on the scene, it's Duryodhana who got up first before anybody else. Before everyone else got up, Duryodhana got up first. Because Duryodhana's plan was to put a fine on anyone who gets up. He told the kings, in Mahabharata you'll read that, that he told them that if any one of you get up, I will force you to pay a very heavy fine of gold coins. That was the agreement. And all the kings didn't want to, because most of them were bankrupt already. Duryodhana has taken plenty from them. So anyway, when this happened, Duryodhana first got up. And Duryodhana and Krishna started instructing Dhritarashtra. And Dhritarashtra, as usual, started playing the same game, saying that whatever you said is all correct, he says to Krishna. But then I don't know what to do. And Tasmai namo dharava bodha vihara tandra samsara chakra gadaye parameshwaraya. In the Bhagavatam you will see. Akrura goes to him with Krishna's message. And Akrura is saying to Dhritarashtra, Dhritarashtra, it is like this. Look, this is the last chance you have. If you don't stop your son, Krishna also said the same thing to Dhritarashtra, that only one thing you have to do, lock him up first, pointing out to Duryodhana. That was enough for Duryodhana. Krishna says to Dhritarashtra, lock him up first, and then we can talk after that what you should do. I'll tell you what you should do. First you lock him up, he said. And Dhritarashtra was not ready for that. So, tasmai, and then, so much Krishna has spoken to Dhritarashtra to not to enter into the war. Pull out of this. You will destroy yourself. Your wife will go. Children will go. Whole family will go. Everything will go. In spite of all that, Dhritarashtra is hearing all that and then says to Akrura. Akrura, it's like this. I understand everything what you are saying. But what? But is this? That my son, he's my son, isn't he? So I have to do what he tells me to do. Tasmai namo durava bhoda vihara tandram samsara chakra gadaye parameshwaraya. That I understand Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I accept all that thing. But I can't listen to him. I listen to my son, Duryodhana. So at that point, Krishna has more or less made up his mind that these lot here who are sitting here talking about Bhishma, Drona, Karna, and many other kings who are, the associates of Duryodhana and Dushasana and all the others who are present there, they were in a mood to get rid of Krishna from there by insulting him. So as a last resort, Krishna showed the universal form to them. That's when he showed the universal form. If you don't know who I am, now here I am. As soon as they saw that, their eyes started going funny. Some of their eyes started dropping off the sockets. And it started so strange they were, some of them fell down there itself. The power of that universal form, I'm saying, it was so powerful that what they saw in that universal form has completely shaken them. And this would have happened to Arjuna also. That's why Krishna is preparing Arjuna for the universal form. Otherwise, the universal form he has shown to many people. As I said before, Yashoda Devi, Bali Maharaj, now we have Dhritarashtra, and here Arjuna now, fourth or fifth in the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam you find there. But that preparing Arjuna is necessary, otherwise what has happened to Duryodhana, what has happened to other kings there, same thing would have happened to Arjuna also. So what happened? What happened was, Krishna walked out from there, and then Duryodhana says to turn to each other. Again, he's back to his false ego, he's back again. He's saying at that time, he says, oh, that's some magic what he has shown. Anybody can show that magic. He says like this about Krishna at that time. So we'll stop there. We'll continue tomorrow. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.